Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. The show originally aired on the Premiere Network Saturday, November 10th, 2018. This is episode 1539. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by LastPass. Secure every password-protected entry point to your business. Join over 43,000 businesses and start managing and securing your company's passwords today. Learn more at lastpass.com/twit. And by Carbonite. From customer data to disaster recovery and backup, automatically protect everything in the cloud with Carbonite. To learn more, visit Carbonite.com. And by Capterra. Find software solutions for your business needs. Capterra is a free website with over 600 categories of business software. Visit Capterra.com/tech guy right now and get your free copy of the big book of free software. Well, hey, how are you today? Good to see you. Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. It's now time to talk. Yet no more gardening, no more vitamins, no more, you know, home improvement or exercise. This is the portion of the day we get to talk about computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography. We talk about smartphones, we talk about smart watches, you know what I'm talking about, all that jazz. My phone number is 8888-ASK-LEO, 888-827-5536. That's toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Outside that area, you can still get a hold of me using Skype Out or some other VoIP solution. 888-827-5536. I hold in my hands the future, my friends, the future of technology. Well, it sure feels like it anyway. I'm holding an iPad Pro. The 12.9-inch iPad Pro, the $2,000, not quite that expensive because you could get it up there. They have up to a terabyte of storage. I couldn't really afford to do that, so I merely got 256 gigs of storage, which is still pricey. I think that's $1,299. And then on top of it, magnetically attached, like a miracle of science, there's this Apple Pencil, that's $129. And then it's in a case because, of course, really, it's supposed to be a laptop, right? It's in a case with a keyboard that's $200. $329 plus $12.99. $1,629. That's laptop prices, isn't it? And, you know, in many ways, I think the iPad Pro, whether you get the 11-inch or the 12.9, these are the new iPads, which everybody got this week. Everybody who bought one right away got this week. You saw all the reviews come out. In many ways, I think this surpasses a laptop in terms of sexy technology. I know that sounds nutty to call it sexy technology. But it is. It is. And in fact, in many ways, I would say this is far superior to a laptop computer. It's a beautiful screen. And Apple, in their usual kind of misguided attention to detail, even made the screen, the edges of the screen curved. I don't mean the physical device. I mean the screen itself has curved edges to match the straight edges, to match the curved edges of the physical box in a perfect symmetry and harmony of curves and flow and design. It's all design. And and I like that it's nice and thin. So thin, Apple said. So thin. How thin is it, Leo? So thin, you can't actually put a headphone jack on it. It would have to be fatter. Okay, well, No headphone jack, eh? No. And so thin that the camera even has a bump. Because the camera is fatter than the iPad, so it has a bump, like a couple of millimeters sticking right out, which means you can't lie it flat unless you spend $200 on the special bump cover case that also happens to be a keyboard. But really, is a bump cover case. And the screen itself is something they call liquid retina. Ooh, that sounds tasty. That sounds like liquid sugar. Liquid retina. I remember when Steve Jobs said, "This screen is so beautiful, you could lick it." I think that's taking a page from the book of Jobs. It's a liquid retina. And it's quite beautiful. True tone. Yes, this screen adapts to the ambient lighting wherever you are. I'm not sure why, but it does. It does. I'm not talking about the night shift where it gets yellow, because you don't want blue eyes. Heaven forfend, hit blue eyes, hit your eyeballs in the middle of the night. That would be terrible. I'm not talking about the night shift. In fact, that completely defeats the true tone. I'm talking about just in the course of life itself. As you go from outdoors to indoors, it just magically, subtly shifts. I don't know why. To match the environment, I guess. It's like a mood ring pad. Except instead of you, it's mirroring the environment. And then it's got a process. The real thing, and I'll stop being a facetious here, the real thing that's kind of truly incredible is the microprocessor, in this thing. The A12X, not 10, the A12X Bionic. Remember the Bionic Man? We have the technology. The first 7 nanometer, 7 billionths of a meter process. Intel couldn't do it. Only Apple. Because their geniuses could do it. Well, Apple didn't really do it. The Taiwanese semiconductor manufacturing company did it. But Apple told them to do it. It was Apple's idea. The A12X Bionic has 8 CPUs in it. 4 fast ones, 4 slow ones. When it needs to go fast, it can go fast. When it needs to go slow, it can go slow. But if it needs to go really fast, all 8 of them will go in. So it could, as much as 8. 7, I don't know why 7. I don't know where the number 7. 7 graphic processing units. You could have had 8, but that would be too symmetric, and Johnny Ive doesn't like symmetry. It's not aesthetic. 8 CPUs, 7 GPUs. And a partridge in a machine language unit in there, too. Just because that's, you know, they might as well have a blockchain chip, too, just to get all the buzzwords. It's got a machine dedicated. Oh, I'm getting facetious again. I'm sorry. It is very fast. It is, sadly, faster than 92%, according to Apple, 92% of all the laptops sold this year. And why sad? Well, here's all this beauty and power in this thing, but it's still running iOS, which means you can't really like edit text very well because it doesn't have a trackpad. There's no mouse. You kind of can. I guess you can use the pencil a little bit. You can't access the file system. There is one, but it's hidden from you. Hidden from you, because the priesthood should see the file system, not you. It's too confusing for your little brain. You don't need the file system. You can't attach external storage to it, even though it has, amazingly enough, a Type-C port that can do data and power. Even video can come out of this thing. But don't connect an external hard drive. Nothing will happen. It'll think it's a camera, because the A12X Bionic is the smartest chip ever. And it knows you didn't mean to attach a hard drive. You meant to attach a camera. It's really unfortunate because as beautiful as you feel how fast this is. This thing is just so snappy. And I can't wait to do something that demands all that power. But right now you can't. It's basically still a giant iPhone. By the way, the iPhone's really fast too. But you know. So it's an intro. It's a really. It's in a way. It's amazing, gorgeous, beautiful piece of art, and very. If I didn't have to think about money, you know, you would say, well, I'm going to buy a dozen of them. I'm going to make a little house out of these. They're so beautiful. But we do have to think about money, and you can for this price. You could get a real computer with a real keyboard. You even get a pen if you like the pen, but you could also get a mouse. and you could access external storage and do all sorts of other things. It's a very strange beast Apple has made. I can only hope, I think Apple really does feel like, and I mentioned this before, that this is the future of computing. I think Apple does believe that, that this is the computer that that lives in the future for you. It will be your next computer. I think Apple really believes that. But I also think it's not there yet. And maybe Apple's just having us on. Maybe Apple knows that. And then someday they're going to surprise us and they're going to say, you know what? Let's make this a real computer. Let's surprise everybody. Make this a real computer. And we can put real software in there. You can do real stuff, real video editing, real text editing, real writing, real programming, all the things that people want to do with computers, because it's such a beautiful piece of hardware. And I'm absolutely dead serious when I say that. It is a stunning piece of hardware, especially the 12.9-inch, which is as big as a laptop screen. It's just a gorgeous screen. But it's hampered because it's not... The operating system is designed for a phone, to be frank. All right. I have also the new MacBook Air. I actually kind of like that. We'll talk about that. I have a Mac Mini. I have phone calls. You hear the calls coming in? They're coming in right now. So we will get to the phones and answer your calls in just a minute. I'm Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Your calls coming up. Kim, are you answering the phones? We're ready. We're getting set. All right. Let's get to the phones in just a bit. 8888 Ask Leo. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. It's a windy day. Here she is, ladies and gentlemen, Kim Schaffer.
I feel he's sending us a message with that song today.
Oh, we're California
dreaming.
It's
kind of been a really rough week.
It is smoky all over the state of California. So smoky that people are saying, stay inside.
Yep.
Parades are being called off for Veterans
Day.
Did
it? I was wondering. I was going to ask you.
Here in Petaluma, we're still doing it because
are
we're
you?
Tough.
Okay.
We've been through fires.
But
they are calling off a lot of stuff, and schools are closed.
Schools are closed.
Yeah. But you notice, not to flog our sponsor or anything.
Molecule is giving away masks in the city. I saw a pop-up on.
Do you notice how good the air is? Because you're in a purified environment.
I don't even think it's on. But
it is. It's just quiet. No, it's on. Oh, yeah. We leave it on, especially on smoky days.
I woke up this morning and saw a pop-up on Facebook, and it said, come to the BART station at Montgomery for your free N95 mask.
Wow.
And it was Molecule.
Well, but see, so we have a neighbor boy who's got asthma. Mm-hmm. And he slept over last night because of the Molecule. Mm-hmm. He was in the house because we kept all the doors and windows closed. It's been really unpleasantly smoky, hasn't it?
Yeah, I was up in Santa Rosa the day it started, and I'm down in Marin, so it's not nearly as bad. But it's bad. Driving up here today, there's no visibility in front of you.
Our prayers and thoughts go with the people of Butte County
and down in. Southern
and Maryland. Down in, oh man, it's just it's terrible. Mm-mm. Terrible, terrible. This seems to be happening a lot lately.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We need that rain.
The Woolsey Fire in Southern California. And,
all right. Well,
I hear it's going to be an El Nino year, so it'll get wet.
I've heard that before.
Just later. I've heard that before. So you got the phones going, right?
Yeah,
they were kind of stuttering.
Not, but you know, we got our good friend Evan in Phoenix, Arizona. He wants to talk to you about the new iPad you were just showing off.
Questions about the new stuff from Apple are more than welcome. I've got an iPad, a MacBook Air, and the new Mac Mini. All three. It was kind of an expensive week.
That's every week.
Thank you, Kim.
You're welcome.
Hello, Evan. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hi, Leo. How are you?
I am well, Evan. How are things in Arizona?
Smoke-free. My thoughts go out to everyone in California.
Yeah, it's just terrible. Oh, it's terrible. I feel like at some point the whole state's just going to burn down. It seems like it's just...
Oh, let's hope that doesn't...
Scary. It's scary. What can I do for you, Evan?
So, first of all, kudos to the both of us You've done this before, but this is the first for me. Exactly a year ago, we were sitting there in the studio talking about the new iPhones we both had. It was a 10, and we both came to the conclusion that they would be doing the same sort of thing with the iPad. It took a year, but they did. So we
The user interface, yeah. Yeah, so now the one thing we didn't know until they released the iPad last week was that the face recognition would work in all orientations, because Apple said they couldn't get that done on the iPhone last year, the iPhone 10. But it does, man. In fact, it's kind of cool, because it's easy to have your thumb over the camera. It's so it has, it'll say, get the thumb off the camera. Well, something like that. And has a little bouncy arrow saying, the camera's here, over here, let go. So that's cool. And it's very fast. The face recognition is very fast. What did you get that for now, Evan? Why did you buy the new iPad Pro?
It's kind of my go-to device most of the time. My wife noticed that shortly after the original iPad came out that I was using my computer less and less.
Yeah.
And I do find that I can do about 75% of what I need to do on the iPad. If I'm going to do anything real heavy duty, I'll go to the computer.
That's my problem. When I say it's $1,600 for this version of the iPad that I got, when you add the keyboard and the pencil, when I say that, if that's your only computer, okay. But if you still have to have a laptop, which I think many of us do, that just doubled the cost of computing. And the other thing I find is when I'm doing stuff on the iPad, it's always a little bit of a compromise. Do you notice that? Like you can do the stuff. Well, for instance, importing photos into Lightroom. Well, now I want to use Lightroom CC. Adobe offers it on the iPad. It really is a nice way with the pencil to go through photos to edit them. It's a very nice screen, so I'm seeing a good quality of that image. I like to take pictures, as you know. And I could do that, except I can't. I have to import into Apple's photos first. They have a little shortcut. They even mentioned this at the event. Well, don't worry, because we have a little shortcut that scripts it. That's too much work. And a lot of the same thing with text editing. I feel like, yeah, I can do it, but it's too much work compared to doing it on a computer. Do you find that? Do you find it's a little like you kind of in your mind, you do workarounds? Well, I can do this. I just have to compromise a little bit.
A little bit. There's no question, but I think it also is getting easier with each generation. And
it's such nice hardware. I love this hardware. I love it. And I want it to be powerful enough for me to do everything. And it's just not quite there yet. And that's really Apple to blame for this. They hobble iOS. They keep iOS from being a real operating system. That's the problem. You've got a real computer, but they don't want a real operating system on it because they think it's too complicated for us or something.
Agreed. What I do find is that when I travel for work, I don't bring a computer with me, because
that's going to be the temptation. Yeah.
I'm going to do email. I'm going to watch your podcast.
Yeah,
It's
fine for that. It's maybe an expensive Netflix machine. I mean, it's fine. Lisa and I watched a movie in bed last night. It was kind of fun. I had to prop it just right. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. But you love it, Evan. You're glad you got it.
I am. My wife is definitely noticing the price increases, though, and it is getting expensive between, the phone and the iPad. And Apple Watch every year.
So what do you think? You like it? Yeah, Sean was playing with the Procreate. See, I can't. Oh, hey, Sean, you are an artist. Look at that. That is truly. I should show everybody what Sean did. This is truly truly gorgeous. Where was it? Oh, is that it?
No,
it keeps disappearing every time I open it. This is disappointing. Oh, that's nice. Very pretty. Well, yeah, but you need a little tree here. Yeah, let's do a little. Oh, you got to do it with a pencil, so then you can pick the color.
Hey, Leo, quick question. What
sure.
So what about USB-C cables? If you're discharging it, does it matter?
What do you mean discharging it?
Discharging the, there were those really bad USB-C cables that were damaging devices.
Well, yeah, don't get those.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, don't get, yeah, definitely, you don't definitely want those. Yeah.
I bought two of the anchors.
Anchor's fine. I bought. And of course, the cable it comes with is good. Anchor's fine.
Yeah, a little short.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I'd be careful. Because you can charge your phone with it. So I would make sure. What was this?
This is part of your bit in screensaver. It says you're going to need some.
You're going to need some dongles.
You know the replacement Scott machines?
Huh?
The replacement Scott machines that Russell bought.
Yeah.
Don't have UC on the back. No way.
Those are A to C's.
They're supposed to be headless.
Well.
Right? So this is going to come up to the KVM.
So, yeah, I mean. I think that Apple's position is, hey, it's not, you know, being a pioneer is not easy. You know, you got to.
You really should make something else.
And yet they're falling behind a little bit, I think, in the camera. It's a great camera, but from what I've seen, the Pixel does have a beat.
Oh, yeah. This isn't this, but you don't buy this for the camera, do you? Oh, you're talking about the iPhone.
No, not that. Yeah, the iPhone. I mean, I spent $1,800 on this because I got 512 gigs of storage because I want to keep everything on device. And same with the phone. So, you know, you really want the best when you're paying for the best.
Yeah. I'm starting to think that we are sheeple.
My wife tells me that almost every day.
We are sheeple. And I find it hard to disagree. Evan, I got to run. Thank you. It's good to hear from you. We'll see you soon. All right. Take care, bud. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're giving Bob Ross a run for his money.
Hey, Scott. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Leo.
Just puffy little clouds, right? We got puffy.
Happy little trees.
Happy little trees and puffy little clouds.
Why, you're an artist.
I'm an artist. I'm an artist. How come all of the stuff that the gallery came with disappeared, though? It disappears.
Oh, there's only a few.
They're all gone now. Every time
Oh, you're right. Yeah,
they're disappearing. What?
Yeah, that's weird.
Maybe I have to import. Oh, you see. Wait a minute. I can do this. Then I can draw puffy little clouds here. Hey, the funky Scott Wilkinson, Home Theater Geek, is here. Hello, Funky Scott Wilkinson, the Home Theater Geek.
Hey, bump to bump.
Bump to bump. How's Trix in the home theater biz?
Oh, doing good. Good. Wanted to report on a reader or a listener who called in or wrote an email in, and I answered. And he came up with another solution that I hadn't thought of, which I wanted to share with everybody.
A solution to what?
Well,
do we have a problem?
He has an old Sony stereo receiver and a pair of Sansui speakers. Remember Sansui speakers?
Sansui.
And he wanted to be able to stream from his Synology NAS, network attached storage device, to which he is ripping CDs.
So basically, it's when worlds collide.
Exactly.
He's got analog speakers and a digital heart.
Right.
How does he combine the two?
And so I was coming up with a variety of Wi-Fi type wireless adapters or transmitters, and I had not thought of the most obvious solution, which is a Chromecast audio.
Oh yeah. They have it. Do they have analog out?
They do. The Chromecast audio.
But they don't power the speakers. Those Sansuis need power.
No, exactly. And he's using his receiver to power the speakers.
So it's an analog receiver.
Correct. And what he wanted to do was get his digital audio from the NAS into his analog receiver.
Yes.
And I found a number of kind of kludgy ways to do it, and he found an elegant solution, which I wish I had thought of, called Chromecast Audio. Now, we know Chromecast, which is a streaming video device from Google, but they also make a Chromecast Audio, which is specifically for audio, and it has an analog output. It's one of these eighth-inch jacks.
You know what's funny about the Chromecast Audio is that is also a digital output.
Correct.
The eighth-inch jack can be either an optical cable or you can use an analog cable, and either way.
And you know what? I have never understood how that could be.
It's magic, Scott.
It's magic.
No, I've done both. I love the Chromecast Audio because you can get multi-room audio. It's cheap.
$35.
It will solve this. In fact, even on the ad, on the picture, on the Google store, they show it being plugged into the aux port of an analog speaker or something like that.
Yes, now that's a powered speaker.
Yeah, it is. It looks like one of those audio engine speakers I love.
Correct.
So much.
And this is the issue is if you have a power, you can do it with a powered speaker or Paul's case, if he has a receiver powering a pair of speakers, it works just as well. So it's the perfect solution.
Yeah, you have to leave your receiver on aux.
Yes.
Yeah. But hey,
exactly.
Who cares?
Exactly.
You're getting great audio that way.
Great audio quality.
If you could use the digital, it'd be best. But it's pretty good for analog.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And this actually reminds me of another letter that I got from Jack in New Jersey, who's got some old Bose speakers and he wants to use them for surrounds, but he can't run wires to them. So how does he do that wirelessly? And that turns out to be kind of tricky, because what you really want is a wireless transmitter that can plug into the receiver, your main receiver, and then a wireless receiver, also the same name, a little box that connects to the speakers in the back. But that wireless receiver in the back has to have a power amplifier, because the speakers, the old Bose speakers, presumably are not the 901s, and I have a little story about that too. They need to be amplified, and so getting a wireless signal to an amplifier for the rear surround speakers turns out. I've been looking around for weeks for these, and I haven't found very many. The one I did find was from Klipsch, of all people. I mean, Klipsch makes great speakers, and they have a system called it's called the Stream Wireless Multi-Room Audio System. It's not exactly designed for what he wants to do, but it'll work. And it consists of a transmitter that you connect the preamp outputs from the receiver for the surround speakers, connect it to this little box. It wirelessly transmits to a receiver in the back of the room, say, that has an amplifier built in that's called the power gate. And that little wireless receiver, you connect then the speaker, the amplifier outputs to those speakers, and you have wireless surround speakers.
Yeah, I used to do this at home, and it was never – the problem with wireless speakers, it just never was reliable. You know, they may be better now. They're at 5.8 gigahertz, and that's – you know, Monoprice makes them for like $50.
Right.
But then you still need some sort of amplifier because those Bose speakers are not powered.
Yeah. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the main problem. And also this Klipsch Stream Wireless Audio Server system is not cheap. It's $100 for the transmitter, and it's like $300 for the receiver with the amplifier.
Oh, you could do – you know, this would be one – if we had Radio Shacks, this would be one for a trip to Radio Shack.
Yes.
Because you can get – I mean, the Monoprice sells these – you know, you get a base unit, plugged it into you plug that into the, you know, the TV system, whatever, however you've got your receiver working. And then you have a receiver, $55 for the two of them. You still need an amp, but you can get a cheap power amp.
You can get those for
another $50. So $100, you should be able to do this. But my problem is
kludgy, but it works.
It's kludgy, and I found that the wireless was just, I guess for surround, it's okay.
And this is the point. Yeah, it's not for critical listening, but for your surround speakers, I think it would probably
work. You're not going to have lip sync issues with surround.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
It's okay if the bowling ball ends up a millisecond late. Right? It's the back of the room or whatever. Right, it's not the end of the world. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Probably the speaker I get most emails about is the Bose 901. Remember that speaker?
My college roommate had a pair of those, the direct reflecting speakers.
Yeah.
And man, it was like, you know, those were like the, this is in the late 70s, but those were like the magical thing, right?
Yep. They were. I lusted after them myself. I never bought a pair, but I knew that if I had ever got any money, that's what I would want.
If I had some 901s, man, my ears would just be happy.
Now, you know what the weird thing about those is, though?
You can get them cheap today, right? Can you?
Well, not necessarily.
Because audiophiles, I think, you know, still
value them. I mean, Bose is not that well respected, generally speaking. But
there's the saying the audiophiles have. You've heard it. No highs, no lows, got to be Bose.
Yep. And in fact, that's the point here. The Bose 901s required an equalizer. They came with an equalizer.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
And you had to plug it into what's called the tape loop, which hardly exists anymore in AV receivers. Basically, it routes the signal out of the receiver through this equalizer and then back into the receiver so it can be amplified. It was required of these speakers. They don't work without that equalization.
I would guess in the intervening 50 years that digital technology has allowed people to make better sounding speakers.
Yes.
So it's more nostalgia. It's nostalgia.
Exactly what I was going to say.
I have a friend who has got tube amps. He's got Klipsch horns. Mm-hmm. You know, the giant speaker. He's got, you know, but it's more a nostalgia thing, because I bet you that stereo, as good as it sounds, isn't much better than a high priced modern.
Well, that's the difference between analog and digital. We'll talk about that another time.
Scott Wilkinson, Home Theater Geek. More of your calls coming up. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I kind of like the Bose sound. It's a little tubby, but I don't mind it.
It gets equalized.
Right. I shall give you the con, my friend.
I thank you so very much. John in Florida had a Comp USA in Florida till about a year ago. Radio Shack. Man, I miss Radio Shack. Chumley, $500 for the power gate. That's, I've seen it for less than that. That's the power amp side of this. And Eric Duckman just sent something from Monoprice. Let's check out what that is. 50-watt stereo hybrid amplifier. Oh, my God. Tube amp. Yeah, that's what I want, a tube amp for my surround speakers. And this gets to the point that Leo and I almost got to there and didn't. Maybe we'll do it next week. You know, the difference between analog and digital audio. You know, there are those who really swear by the sound of tube amps, which are certainly analog. There are those, obviously, who swear by the quality of vinyl, which is an analog audio source. I've even seen at audiophile shows, some people still use reel-to-reel tape decks. And, you know, okay, the question is, does it sound better? Well, and the answer is, does it sound better to you? That depends. I myself prefer the cleanliness of digital. And there are going to be audiophiles who complain about that. And, oh, well, it doesn't sound rich. It doesn't sound organic. It doesn't sound, you know, authentic or whatever. Yeah, okay, that's fine. I don't like the hassle of dealing with LPs, cleaning them, caring for them carefully, and so on. Tube amps, sure, tube amps sound great. They're typically very low power, but they are typically used with very high efficiency speakers, so that kind of doesn't matter. They do have a warmth to them, which in fact comes from distortion. And I prefer authentic. If you've listened to me for any period of time, you know that I want my TV to be accurate, not vivid, but accurately portraying what the content creator offered or created. And I want my audio the same way. And I think digital delivers it better than analog. Now, analog tubes, anyway, certainly can sound good. And that we get into, you know, the whole human factors thing. But that is how I feel about that. Mike B is asking, any recommendations for a 43-inch 4K TV? Wow. 43 inches for 4K is pretty small, but there probably are some out there. I don't normally deal with TVs that small, and you might think, wait, 43 inches is small? Well, it kind of is, especially at 4K. Because
I had such a fight with my mom.
Oh, really?
Because I got her 55-inch TV. She says, it's too big. I said, no, no, Mom, how far away are you? Well, I'm about, I don't remember what it was, but 10 feet.
10 feet.
It's too big. I said, Mom.
Nope.
I ended up sending her a 43-inch.
And so, oh, really?
Yeah, we gave the 55 gave to my sister. Said, have Eva come over, get the big one. She can have that.
Now, had your mom spend any time with it?
No.
I mean,
she didn't even take it out of the box. Too big.
Okay. All right. Well, that's I find that when people say too big, if they get a chance to sit with it for any length of time.
I said all of that. I said, yeah, Mom, it's the new age. It's not like your old Sony. It's not too big. 43. She's very happy. So,
hey, you know
okay,
what?
Okay. Well, then the TCL 6 Series 43-inch.
That's what I got her.
That would be the TV.
That's exactly what I got her. And she's very happy. It's got Roku built in and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Stick around to the top.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I'm bad to the bone. 8888. Ask Leo the phone number. Carmine, Chicago, Illinois. Hello. Hello, Carmine. Hello. Hey, come on over. Join the fun. What can I do for you?
I have an HP Spectre 360 laptop, the new one.
Isn't it nice?
I love it.
Oh, man. They're so thin. I really think HP's knocking it out of the park.
The only issue that I'm having is I have the One World Computing Thunderbolt 3 dock.
Oh.
And for whatever reason, everything works great through it, except for it won't power the laptop.
Yeah. So I thought HP had stopped doing this. Because I had the same Spectre, but I had the one when it first came out. It's a beautiful laptop. But you couldn't, even though it was a Type-C power, you had to use the HP adapter. And so then HP said, well, we just don't want people. They had some lame excuse. Now, Paul Thurrott told me that they've stopped, that the most, you said you have this year's.
Yeah.
He said they stopped doing that. But try, are you using the HP adapter going into the other world computing thing? The dongle?
No, I just plugged it directly from the output port into my computer.
Yeah. So if you can pass through from the HP, that might work. I don't know if the HP has to physically be attached to that port, or I think it probably doesn't, but you might check. I don't know how they're doing it. They're probably saying, you know, they're actually, because it's a data port as well as a power port, they're probably communicating it with it and saying, are you real? Are you authentic? Are you a real HP device? Which is silly. It really, that was the one, there were two negatives on the one I got. Yours has touchscreen now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The one I had didn't have touch. That was bad. But, oh, boy, it was copper. Did you get the silver one or the copper one?
Copper one.
Isn't it gorgeous?
It's just beautiful.
Now they have one that's made of leather.
I saw that one, but it only had eight. I saw that one on your show, but as far as I understood, it only had 8 gigs of RAM.
Yeah, and it's leather. Yeah. I don't know. A leather laptop might draw unwanted attention. I don't know. It seems it's like a football. They say it's recycled leather, right? You know, no. They had some funny thing like those. They said, "Oh, I know what they said. Those cows were dead anyway." Like people are objecting because it's got leather. Oh no, those cows are going to be eaten anyway, so it's okay. Like that makes it all right. I don't know how that makes it all right, but anyway, if you like leather, there. I think HP's doing great stuff. They're very thin. They're nice, but maybe they're still requiring an HP power dongle. I would try it with the HP power dongle.
Okay, so just use that adapter. And
the other thing, thing is, so are you saying the OWC device has its own power? It's not pass through. It's not type C in and type C out.
No, it's pass through.
It's pass through, and it has its own dedicated power. The other thing is make sure it has enough power, because a lot of laptops, you know, this is the problem with these type C connectors. You can look at it, but it doesn't tell you anything about what it can do. So type C can go up to 100 watts. That HP may need 75, 80. I don't know what it needs to charge. So look, that's the other thing to look at, is how many watts of power are coming out of that. It may not be out of the OWC. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It may not be enough. They may be thinking it's just a data connector. That's the other problem, is you got to have the right cable too. You have to have a cable that does data and power. So
that might be.
It's all very confusing. Type C is just a connector. You have to look at what the specs are on the other end. Typically, now in a modern computer, because the Intel chipsets support it, you'll get Thunderbolt 3 data. In the old days, it would be USB 3.1, but nowadays, usually Thunderbolt data. You may also get video out, which is great. You can power a monitor with it. That OWC dock. By the way, that's intended for Macs, I think, not Windows machines, right?
Right.
Yeah. So that might be the other. That might be another problem. I don't know how that would affect things, but it might. So video, power up to 100 watts, and data. But just looking at the port doesn't tell you which of the above it does. So you kind of, I would make sure it's got enough wattage, because I was told Paul Thurrott, and who's our Windows guy, loves these HPs, and as do I. And he said they stopped. It was only the first generation that they were requiring an HP power adapter. He asked him. Okay. They said, "Well, we want to protect the integrity of the blah 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 blah."
They want me to spend $75.
That's what they want. Integrity of the bloody blah blah. You got a nice computer. It's beautiful. I just love it.
I really love it.
And when you get tired of Windows, it runs Linux beautifully.
Okay.
I always, you know, I don't buy Windows machines unless I first verify that should I decide to run Linux on them, I can. And nowadays, Linux has gotten so compatible, you can. So, it's like when I get a new one, like in a few years, you get a new one, you can keep the old one going with Linux. Give it to your aunt. Nice to talk to you.
All right. Thanks, Leon.
Thanks, Carmine. See ya.
You have a good day.
You too. Go Bears. Teresa, Los Angeles, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, Leo. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. I have a Samsung 55-inch TV that went out of the blue a few months ago.
Oh, nuts.
I've only had it for 7 years. And so I called Samsung, and they recommended that I take it to one of their, you know, certified repair.
Yeah.
And I did that.
Yeah.
And was told that it was
kaput.
Able to be fixed.
It's kaput.
It was kaput. Exactly.
Das Maschine ist kaput.
So,
that's too bad.
Did they
say what was kaput?
They gave me a part number and said it was something to do with the LED lighting.
Oh, yeah, with the backlight goes out. Hey, you know who's still here? Because he doesn't really have much of a life. Scott Wilkinson. Oh, I'm teasing Scott. He has a lot of things to do. But he very kindly sticks around for you, Teresa. So,
oh, good.
Yeah, so it's kaput.
It
sounds like the backlight went out. Those flat panels are not very easy to repair, are they?
No, they're not. They're not. Mm. I'm afraid the days of 25-year lifespan on a TV are probably over.
Yeah.
You know, and yours is... Yeah, I'm afraid so. Yours is what, 7 years old, you said?
It's 7 years old. It's 7 years old.
Here's the good news. The price of a new one that will even look a lot better is probably half or less, right, Scott? I mean, the prices have fallen dramatically.
Falling dramatically.
Yeah. Those TVs, those TCL TVs we were talking about, a few hundred bucks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
I'm sorry, what was the size?
55.
55, okay. That's a good size.
55.
and I would say it's not worth fixing. Put that money towards a new TV, definitely.
Okay.
Because you'll get 4K, you'll get HDR, high dynamic range. It's a much better picture now than it was 7 years ago.
Yeah, and lots less money.
Yeah.
Any recommendations?
Well, Samsung is a good TV, no question about it. Sony makes great TVs. Vizio for the is the sort of bargain leader, in my opinion. TCL also.
We're liking those TCLs. I think those are pretty good. I would look at Vizio or TCL. Go to your big bucks store, Teresa, because you can get some pretty good deals. You can look at it. Remember that, you know, when you're looking at it in a showroom, it's really not the best way to view a TV. Read the reviews.
Yes, and that's because, more to the point.
Yeah, you can't tell how good it's or bad it's going to look in the showroom because of the lighting there. And yeah, and they turn
them
up.
Let me ask you this, Teresa. Do you have, is it in the living room? Do you have like a lot of light on when you're watching TV?
It was in the living room, but there, no, not a lot of light. It's kind of dim in there. It was kind of dim.
Oh, well, good.
It was very bright.
And you don't need a super bright TV.
Lots of good choices out there for
lots of good
much
choices.
Less, Teresa. And you can give that one to Goodwill or somebody, and some kid will learn how to repair TVs on it or something like that. Our show today brought to you by, thank you, Scott. Nice to have you around. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. More calls still to come. You stay right here. And there he is, ladies and gentlemen. He's the horses are at the starting gate, and
hey,
Scott Wilkinson's off. All yours, Scotty.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so let's see. Twisted Mister and a few folks in the chat room were talking about digital audio based on what I was talking about during my segment there. And it's a very interesting question. The thing they're talking about is the bit depth. So digital audio at 16 bits versus 24 bits, which is often called high-resolution audio. The number of bits in an audio signal determines the dynamic range of the signal. We talk about dynamic range in video all the time, but audio also has dynamic range from silent to maximum loudness. And 24 bits certainly gives you more dynamic range than 16 bits. But as I have learned, the quality of the audio, of the recording, has more to do with how it was mastered than how many bits it has or how high the sampling rate was, which is the other main component of digital audio. How many times per second was the analog waveform sampled in order to form the digital music or digital audio file? And there are those who say 24 bits is much better than 16. And Twisted Mister, I think, made a very good point in the chat room, which is it depends on the mastering. I have heard 16 bits, which is what CD is, by the way. I have heard CDs sound better than 24-bit versions because of how they were mastered. And that mastering really is a process. It's kind of post-production. It's like a colorist on a video thing. You're basically massaging it to sound as good as it can. And you might have to apply some equalization or some compression. You might have to do a variety of things. And the skill of the mastering engineer is the primary criterion, I think, for how good a recording sounds. And Twisted Mister also pointed out that, he bought a CD of some group and it didn't sound very good. He downloaded the 24-bit version from HD Tracks and it sounded much better, because it had been remastered, not because it was 24 bits. The other sort of problem I have with 24 bits, yes, it has greater dynamic range, but in order to perceive that dynamic range, that enhanced dynamic range, you have to have a super quiet environment, like a recording studio environment, because the dynamic range, practically speaking, has to do with what's called the noise floor in your room or in your environment where you're listening. Because if you've got noise in the room, you can't hear that bottom part of the dynamic range. And this is particularly true in cars. And Sony has been very big on high-resolution audio in automotive applications. And I'm saying there's no point, none. I mean, even if you get a super high-end car like a, you know, a Bentley or a Rolls or something like that, that is indeed very quiet inside the car while you're driving, it's still not, it's nowhere near recording studio quiet. And so all the advantage of 24 bits in terms of dynamic range, totally lost, gone. It just means nothing. So I see no reason to have high-resolution audio in a car. I see no reason to have high-resolution audio even in most home stereos unless you've got a really, really quiet room in which to listen. Headphones, I think it makes the most sense for high-resolution audio. As long as you have headphones that can reproduce that dynamic range and the frequency range, if you have that, then headphones, I think, are the best way to enjoy high-res audio because they are isolating. Over-the-ear headphones, around-the-ear headphones, even in-ears, if they block out the external sound. If they do that, then you've got an environment in which high-resolution audio makes sense and you can hear the difference and hear the improvement in quality. Once again, as long as the mastering was done properly. And that we have no control over. That was the mastering engineer. So presumably a good mastering engineer would create a good recording, whether or not it was 16 bits or 24 bits. So that is my screed on that. Lawn Dog bringing up the subject of lifespan of TVs. It's sad. You know, I remember my grandparents' console TV, you know, that probably lasted them 25 years. No more, I'm afraid. Also, earlier in the chat room, we were talking about Panasonic OLED TVs and how they are not sold in the U.S. Panasonic has left the U.S. TV market some years ago, and they have not yet come back. But they are selling OLED TVs in Europe, Asia, and I just learned today, Canada as well. And they're very highly regarded. I mean, there's a flat panel shootout that happens in England every year, put on by hdtvtest.com, I think is the website. Vincent Teo is the editor there, and he puts on a really nice flat panel shootout, kind of like the one that they do at Value Electronics in New York, but it's in England. And it's for European models. And they always have the Panasonic OLED in there. And it usually wins. So very highly regarded. Why don't they bring them in here to the U.S.? They don't think they can make money, I guess. That's what it's got to be. iPhone 80047 asks, is there much difference between the 2017 and 2018 LG 65-inch OLEDs? And the answer is yes. I think there is certainly a significant difference. Not huge, but clear. And the most of that has to do with the video processor. The video processor in the 2017 LG OLEDs is very good, but the one in the 2018 is much better. And so you get less banding, you get less other artifacts, fewer of other types of artifacts. And it really is a better picture. So the 2018s, if you can afford them, they're obviously more expensive because they're the current line. But if you can afford them, they are better. Now, I will say that's the C8 and up. They have several lines of OLEDs, C8, E8, G8, and W8. There's also a B8, which is their bargain basement OLED. That one does not have the upgraded processor. That one has last year's processor, which, again, isn't bad. I'm not saying it's bad, but the new one is much better. So, you know, if you can afford a C8 or above, that's what I recommend. The B8 for the bargain-oriented is fine. And if that's where you want to go, I would have no trouble with that.
I tend to stick with the C48s for all of my laundry needs. Thank you. Thank you, Scott Wilkinson. Have a wonderful weekend, and I will see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye-bye. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography. We got smartphones. We got smartwatches. We got all that jazz. We got the new MacBook Air. 888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number. 888-827-5536. Last hour, I talked about the new iPad. I got the big one. And I have to say, I love it. It's gorgeous. It's a work of art. It just, it's a little frustrating because I want to do more with it. You should only consider Apple if you kind of have money to burn. I almost hate to say that, but it really is true. If you didn't consider the cost of Apple's stuff, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It's not economical. That's not a word Apple would use. It's not value. It is, it's like fashion almost. You know, you don't buy a Ferragamo purse because you want to save money. And Apple's increasingly become a status item, let's face it. On the other hand, because they do charge so much, they can put extra care into the manufacture. They can put higher quality components. They can even, as in the case of the iPad Pro, design their own chips, custom chips. And there are benefits to doing that, but the price is kind of outrageous. The MacBook Air is a good example. There, in no world does this compete well with Windows machines costing far less. It just doesn't. I compare it to this Huawei Mate Pro X, which does more, costs less, has a real Intel processor, a U-class processor in here instead of the hobbled low-power Y processor that Apple put in the MacBook. But remember, the MacBook was the laptop that started the Ultrabook category in 2008. This was the one Steve Jobs, you know, had in a manila envelope and pulled out. And nobody'd seen a laptop this thin. You know, that Spectre, HP Spectre we were talking about last hour, inspired by this. It's iconic, dare I say, that wedge design. And there's a bit of nostalgia using this because it's like your old MacBook Air, only better. It's got a real screen this time, a high-resolution Retina display. You know, it doesn't go bezel to bezel. There's bezels. They're smaller than on the old MacBook Air, but they're still bigger than most other companies. Thank goodness it doesn't have the touch bar, which Apple seems to saddle all its high-end laptops with. That's just a terrible, terrible invention. It does have a fingerprint reader, which I like, but so do almost all laptops nowadays have fingerprint. In fact, many have what they call Windows Hello, where the camera recognizes you and unlocks it. They have Face ID. Apple acts as if they invented that for the iPhone 10, but really, Windows machines have had that for some time. On the other hand, if you are, as I am and was for years, a MacBook Air fan, this feels very familiar. It's unchanged in many respects from the MacBook Air of 2008. Same feel and, same heft, same thinness. They've eliminated most of the ports now, just two Type-C Thunderbolt 3 ports on one side and, oh, thank goodness, a headphone jack on the other side. I almost didn't want to look. Oh, yes, there is one. And unfortunately, they've saddled it with this keyboard that Apple seems to just really think is the greatest thing since sliced bread, this butterfly mechanism. It is not, Apple. It is not. It's horrible. It's terrible. No good. Very bad keyboard. So if you don't want to spend a lot of money on a laptop and you want a better keyboard and you want smaller bezels or a bigger screen in the same size device, there's plenty of places you can go to get all that. The Dell XPS 13, beautiful, beautiful. Real keyboard, almost bezel-less design. It even has ports. But this is a MacBook Air. And there's just there's just something about it. There's a real nostalgia factor. And it is nice. I happen to be a fan of the Mac operating system, Mac OS. I really like it. I prefer it to Windows. And so it's nice to have a machine that I can put the Mac operating system on. And it feels like home. It's like the MacBook Air is like mom's home cooking. You know, maybe there are better restaurants in the world. You know, Maybe the food at home isn't the best in the world, but it's mom's. This is the mom's home cooking of computers. Man, I'm home, baby. The one I have as equipped is close to $1,700. You don't have much choice. Apple says it's the i5. That's it. The only processor. There's two different speeds, I guess. Really, the choices you have are how much RAM, and that's not much of a choice. You can get 8 or 16, get 16 gigs. And then how big the hard drive is, that's more of a choice. I don't know many people who can live with a 128-gig hard drive, but if you can, well, that'll save you some money. I ended up getting, I'd like to get more, but I got a 512-gig hard drive. That seems to be enough for what this is. Which is, this is a portable computer. This is a computer you could travel with. And this is the other problem with Apple. As I said with the iPad Pro, these aren't really designed to be your sole device. Not only are they more expensive, you really need an Apple Watch, an iPhone, an iPad, a MacBook Air, and an iMac. You need all of those to really get things done. Now, how much would you pay? A lot. So I think the reviews of the MacBook Air kind of miss the boat, because when you compare it directly to what else is out there, it doesn't compare all that well. It's a little pricey, a little underpowered, but it's mom's home cooking. This is my spaghetti and meatballs, and I'm sticking with it. It feels like I'm back in the warm. Bask in the warm glow of the Apple fire on our hearth at home. 8888, ask Leo if you think I'm nuts. If you understand what I'm saying, you'll probably get a MacBook Air. If you think I'm nuts, you should probably get something else. A Dell or an HP. Those HP Spectres are beautiful. Maybe a Huawei Mate Pro, if you don't mind the fact that it's made by the Chinese military. What could possibly go wrong? If you want industrial strength, you'll go out and get a Lenovo. That's the ThinkPads. These are the workhorses. This is the business computer. You'd recognize it immediately. It's on every desk in the corporate America. All of which would cost you less. But it's kind of like going to Denny's instead of having mom's home cooking. You know what I'm saying? Mom never was cheap. 8888, ask Leo if you want to. Read me the Riot Act. If you want to set me straight, 888-827-5536. I also got, I haven't even opened it. It was just too many things came this week. I got the Mac Mini. Still in the box. This one's going to go into our video production studio. This might be, surprisingly, the new Mac that deserves the most plaudits, the best new of the new Macs, the new Apple stuff. And that's because they kept the same Mac Mini form factor, but they put more good stuff in it. And my goodness, does it have connectors. Two USB 3.1 Type-A connectors, four Type-C Thunderbolt 3 connectors, a full-size HDMI port, a gigabit Ethernet port. Yes, a real Ethernet port. And almost, this should almost be your laptop, right? If you could just, if you knew that there'd be a screen, mouse, and keyboard everywhere you went, you just carry the Mac Pro around with you. That wouldn't be a bad way to go. Mac Pro also more expensive. It's $100 more than the base model. $100 more than the base model Mac Mini, I should say, of a few years ago. When is this? 4 years ago since they've updated this. 4 years. But I think you get $100 worth of value. $799. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. My mother was a terrible cook, says Twisted Mister. Oh, come on now. Come on. Tell me this isn't gorgioso. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Ooh. Oh, sweet mystery of life, I have found you. Angels are singing. Oh, oh. So you got to open the box on the top. That's why I kept it in the box. Let me talk about our sponsor, LastPass. I think this is actually I'm on a mission to get every single person watching and listening to use LastPass. I do. I have for 10 years. You're doing it? Good man, Sean. Sure, of course you have, because you're smart. You know, first of all, you can't use the same password everywhere. That's dopey. One place gets hacked and they've got access to everything, right? That's dopey. You shouldn't be using easy-to-remember passwords. Those are easy to guess, easy to brute force. That's the technique hackers use. So if you're using your kid's name and birthday or your dog's name, see, that they can guess that. Their computers, they can try millions of passwords a second and they can break through that easily. What you need is long, completely random combinations of letters, numbers, and punctuation. But you can't remember that, right? Right. Hard to remember means hard to crack. Keep that in mind. That's why you need a password vault, something to remember the password, something to generate long, totally random passwords and then keep track of them. All you have to remember is the last password, the one password to unlock your vault. Your vault's encrypted. It's safe. No one can read it, not even LastPass. Only you can read it. LastPass vaults are only decrypted on the device, and it works every – one of the reasons I use LastPass, Windows, Linux, Macintosh, Android, iOS, everywhere you are. Every browser has a LastPass plugin so it can automatically fill in passwords for you. In fact, on iOS 12 now, it's so great. LastPass fills in my passwords on my iPhone and my iPad. Android does the same thing. Now, here's the really important message. If you're a business, you really want to use LastPass and you want your employees to use LastPass because, after all, you're giving them the keys to the kingdom. You're giving them the bank password, the website password, the database password. They have access to the crown jewels of the business. And we know that a majority of employees, I've seen the surveys, share passwords, not just with other employees, with friends and family. You got to be controlling this. That's what LastPass Enterprise does. We've been using it for years, and it is great. We believe so much in LastPass at Twit that we give every employee a LastPass personal account. We use LastPass Enterprise. You can create groups. You have total control of who has access. You can revoke access. You can actually give people access to a site without giving them the password. It'll fill it in, but they won't know what it is. And on and on and on. LastPass is awesome. There's LastPass Premium for personal use, LastPass Families for your entire family. By the way, that's great because I can share, you know, bank account and other passwords with my wife. It's very easy. We have a family folder. Just put the passwords in there. They're automatically shared. There's LastPass Teams if you have a small company, 50 or fewer. And then what we use, LastPass Enterprise for big enterprises. We require second-factor authentication. The LastPass Authenticator is awesome. It just pops. There's not that fiddly six-digit number, right? Just pops up a notification on your phone. Said, you're trying to log into the bank? Yeah. Okay. Approved. Simple. More than 16 million people trust LastPass. It's the number one most preferred password manager. More than 43,000 businesses. Your business should be using LastPass. Learn more at LastPass.com/twit. LastPass.com/twit. Enough said. Enough said. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, quickly moving to higher ground. 8888, ask Leo, the phone number, line one, Gary, Scottsdale, Arizona. Hello, Gary.
Hey, how are you, Leo?
I am great. Thank you.
Hey, a couple of questions. One quick question.
Yes, sir.
I have an iMac with Retina display sitting on my desk at home, and I use it only for family photos, family videos, and entertainment purposes.
Okay.
Otherwise, if I want to get some real work done, I've got my Lenovo X1 Carbon, and I love it.
That's a nice machine. Now you're talking sexy beast.
You bet. Yeah. I agree with everything you just said about iPads and all this other stuff, but more germane than just the fact that it's an iPad, I can't for the life of me wonder why manufacturers think that instead of us having a trackpad, I mean, I go to Starbucks,
I know,
people using these iPads with a keyboard, but then they have to raise their finger.
Exactly.
That is the dumbest thing I have ever seen. It's like buying a brand new car and they take away the tactile feel of changing the radio, but as you're hurtling down the runway or a freeway at 80 miles an hour, you've got to take your finger and
right,
you got to pinpoint it on a screen.
Right.
That is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. I hate that. Anyway, I've got this iMac and I have JPEGs, which I've had for many years, and I've transferred from one computer to a PC to a Mac. And on my iMac, I would say there's a large percentage of JPEGs that I just cannot view in either Preview or iPhotos, but I can certainly see them on my PC. And if I view them using Picasa, the old Picasa, on my iMac, I can see them then, but I cannot see them with the iPhotos.
That is interesting, because the JPEGs should be JPEG. This is the compressed photo format that pretty much everybody uses. Apple has moved on to this new high-efficiency image codec, Hike or Hife or whatever it's called. But, So these are photos that you can look at with PC programs, that you can look at with Picasa even on a Mac, but you just can't open it in Apple's Photos.
That's
have
correct.
You? Can you open them in Preview? Have you tried that?
No, and everything I've read going online, it's interesting that when you go to the particulars of those JPEGs I can't open, for instance, it says the dimensions are 0x0.
Oh, they're damaged.
Well, yeah, but I still see them in Picasa. And I'm
yeah.
Like,
so, okay. So, yeah, obviously it's not 0x0. So Mac OS, yeah, I wonder if Preview could read them. What you want to do is you want to repair them, and then everything will read them. But if it's a zero dimension, see what's happening here is, and this is kind of an interesting philosophical conundrum. Apple's decided to take the spec seriously, and if an image is 0x0, it's going, well, it's, you know, I can't read it. But Picasa, knowing that the world is an imperfect place, says, oh, that can't be true, and I'm just going to ignore those dimensions and whatever else is damaged in the description and load the file and see what happens. And it works.
Yeah.
So Apple is not doing the wrong thing. They're just being finicky. So yeah.
I prefer Picasa anyway. I'm sorry they got rid of that program a couple of years.
I would try. One thing you might be able to do is find, first of all, if you save it out, if you open a Picasa and then save it out, it should fix that. Picasa should fix all that. And then you should be able to open it in Photos. That's why I asked if you could open it with Preview. Preview might not be so finicky. So you might be able to open it in Preview, and then same thing, save it. But since you know you can open it in Picasa, which, by the way, is disappeared, it's deprecated. Nobody, you enjoy it while you got it, because at some point it's going to stop working. Google bought it, ran it for a while, and then, as with many things, lost interest. Google is very bad about losing interest.
That's what they consider progress.
That's progress. We're killing Picasa. You can still use it as long as it continues to work, but at some point Mac OS will do something that'll make it stop working.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, they're not updating it.
What do you suggest? Because I do not like iPhoto.
Yeah. Well, it's not even iPhoto anymore. It's Photos. Okay. iPhoto's over too. What version of Mac are you still using? iPhoto?
No, I'm using them. I get the regular updates.
You got Photos. Okay.
Yeah.
Ironically, iPhoto might also have been able to read it. Photos is just being finicky.
Another related question is, it's very interesting to me that when I have the latest, greatest, like Carbon, X1 Carbon, and I have it sitting on my desk next to an iMac screen, it makes my X1 Carbon look like a dull, dirty dish rag. It's just not very bright.
Yeah.
My friend even shows up with his Microsoft Surface and puts it to my X1 Carbon, and wow, I've got to put on sunglasses.
So
I wish I could get a PC monitor that has many nits or as brightness as the Mac does, but those are like, what, $2,000?
Yeah, that's why that iMac is expensive. It's a really good monitor. You've tried turning up the brightness on your Carbon, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I even have a brand new Dell 27-inch HDR 4K monitor.
Well, that must be pretty good. Is that bright?
Not nearly as bright. Still looks like a dirty dish rag next
to the
iMac.
Isn't that
funny? iMac. Yeah.
Well, now this is an ironic thing, because people who are experts in this stuff say we all run our monitors too bright. And it's what you're used to, right? In fact, when you go into a TV showroom, they have everything turned up all the way because people like bright. But honestly, a photographer will say, "Oh no, no, no! You're blowing your screen out. You should have it at a lower brightness." So it may be, in fact, that those PC monitors, the dirty dish rag monitors, are being more accurate. Although Apple's famous for accuracy, you just have it turned up all the way.
It's because of that that I'm going to be forced to stay with iMac because I like the brighter screens. I have this conundrum where I can't.
Apple stopped making monitors, ironically, although they have said that they will make a new monitor next year to pair with the new Mac Pro. So Apple may get back in the monitor business, the external monitor business, and that might be good news for you.
Hey, real quickly, you remind me of a family memory-making experience in which you made me a hero back around 2003.
Really?
When I took my family, and we always have these little memory-making experiences.
Mm-hmm. How nice.
And my son and I, living in Wisconsin at the time, were visiting San Francisco, and he was 14 years old, and we were big fans of screensavers. And I said, you know what? I'm standing in the lobby of my hotel there in San Francisco. I called the studio thinking, oh, no, we're not filming today or this and that. But a nice lady says, hey, I'd like to bring my son over. She says, great. What time can you be here? Can you be here in an hour? We'll get you a front row seat. We came in, and during that time, you would always select four or five people to sit off to the side and play video games.
Yeah.
And throughout the whole program, I think it was Cat at the time.
Cat. He got to be in the LAN party?
He got to be that, and during the whole filming, Kat and the other female at the time, they kind of flirted with my son.
Oh, my. Kat and Morgan were flirting with him, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Mike, or maybe it was Megan. Oh, man. That boy was in heaven.
He was. When he got back to Wisconsin, all the kids at his high school thought he was a hero. It made me a hero.
It's a pleasure to talk to you again, Gary. Thank you for visiting us way back when. Leah Laporte, the tech guy. Of course, your son now is 29. That was 15 years ago. Wow. He's been everywhere, man. He's breathing the mountain air. He's living down by the ocean. How's the air down there? Johnny Jets. You okay?
Not great. It smells like smoke. You can see the fires in Malibu from Manhattan Beach. And it's just been a rough week down here.
What does your shirt say? I am mighty outpost?
Oh, you know, it does. It's a lodge I went to in Belize a long time ago. But
I once took my son on a zip lining adventure in Belize. That might not have been the smartest thing to do. We didn't die. Well, you know how
They invented ziplining in Costa Rica.
Yeah. And maybe it's safer in Costa Rica.
Well, you know what? I think there was an accident in Belize. I think I've been to that one.
Yeah, don't tell me. I don't want to know. We survived, but I'm glad. I feel like we dodged a bullet. So Johnny Jett joins us each week to talk about traveling. He's a travel guru, a travel expert, travel like a rock star using technology. What do you got for us this week, John?
So, you know what? Since it has been such a hectic week and stressful week down in here in Southern California, I got an app that help people sleep better on the road and bring calm into your life.
I need that.
You've probably heard of it. It's actually a very popular app, but I just read about it in a travel magazine, Headspace.
Oh, they're a sponsor. You can know about them. Andy Puttycomb and I are like this.
Well, there you go. So
I love Headspace. I actually gave it to my daughter. Gave her a year's subscription.
On Apple and Google. It's like $4.99.
She can do it on her Google Home device, you know, her Google Assistant. She gets a little meditation. It's awesome.
The ratings are outrageous.
Yeah.
In the Apple Store, over 385,000 people rated it a 4.9.
It's because Andy has this nice English accent. I love Headspace.
Okay. So how often do you listen to it?
Never. You know, meditation. I like the idea of meditation. I just never.
Yeah, well, they actually got Emma Watson is quoted on their homepage saying.
Yeah. Lots of famous people. Yeah.
The famous actress, she said, what does she write? I have it somewhere, but she has a quote.
Ever since I met Andy Puttycomb, My life has been 100. You want to hear a little bit of Andy?
Sure, I would love to.
Here's what Andy sounds like.
So sitting comfortably, just taking a big, deep breath.
Deep.
In through the nose.
Let's do it together.
Out through the nose.
Don't do it if you're driving. Keep your eyes open.
How the body expands.
Yeah.
As you breathe out.
That's Andy. Andy Puddycombe.
And Emma's quote is, it's an app that teaches you how to meditate. It's kind of genius. It's kind of genius.
She's wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's my app of the week. So
no, I like Headspace a lot. And I always, you know, it's one of those things where I sit down, I said, I'm going to meditate. And then, you know, somebody comes in or the doorbell rings or whatever. But if you're going to, he guides you through it. You heard him. It's very relaxing. Yeah. I really like it.
Next week's a very hectic travel week with Thanksgiving coming up. So, you know, everyone's got to pack their patience. And you know what? Download Headspace.
Unless you're a doctor, don't pack your patience if you're a doctor.
Well, you're on a roll today.
No, this is good. And have you done this on a flight, like trying to relax on a flight? I bet it would be really good.
No, I just downloaded it. So I need to go.
Seems like that would be a good thing.
Anyway, so now I got another app for you.
Yes, sir.
This one is called, the website's windfinder.com, windfinder.com. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of this one?
No.
Okay.
Is this how you find wind?
Yes, actually. So I learned about this when I was in Barbados a couple months ago when there was a big tropical storm coming and everyone was looking at different apps. And I met a pilot and he's like, this is the best app. It's called Windfinder. It's for windsurfers.
Oh.
But he goes, as pilots use it too because it's so accurate. This one is actually cost $4.99 in the Apple Store and $5.49 in Google Play. I think the other one, the Headspace, by the way, I had the pricing wrong. It was $12.99 a month.
I got my daughter a year, which is like $100, right? Yeah, it's worth it. Yeah.
I'm going to have to talk to Andy, see if he'll hook me up. But anyway.
Tell him you know me.
Well,
I say, who?
So this Windfinder, you know, it'll give you within 3 hours, increments of 3 hours with a range of 10 days into the future.
Wow.
And it's beautifully displayed, and they use over 20,000 weather stations from all over the world, you know, for the current wind speed, the direction, air temperature, air pressure, all that stuff. And but what I found interesting is that this pilot, it was a commercial airline pilot, he says that this is what he uses. And to track storms.
Nice.
And I'm sure the first responders here in Southern California and Northern California are apps. I'm not sure if they're using this one, but hopefully
Santa Ana wind. It's the problem, right?
That's why my allergies are acting up too. Whenever the Santa Ana's blow in, first of all, it's warm out and it just blows all the nasty air from the inland. Mm. In. So those are my two apps. For the week.
What was I going to ask you about, Johnny?
Thanksgiving travel?
No, well, we can talk about that next week if you want, because that's people. Is it too late to try to book something now?
I mean, no, it's definitely not. You need to be creative.
You'll pay a lot, right?
You need to be flexible. Yeah. So I'm actually flying during that time. And by just changing my day by, you know, just going a day early saves a lot of money.
Yeah.
So When you're pricing out flights, again, just move your day. Trying to take a day off from work either early or after Thanksgiving, or if you're flying, you try the Friday after Thanksgiving to even fly back. That's a good time to fly, but there's still time to do it. But you're not going to get a good deal if you're flying the Wednesday before or the Sunday after, and you're not going to find a good seat either. Although, you know what? Look at first class, because first class prices have been discounted on a lot of those flights.
Really?
So I was looking New York to LA, and JetBlue, they dropped – for next week, it was $600 on some flights, even on that Wednesday before, because it's leisure travelers aren't buying first class.
Interesting. So you might be able to get a deal. I mean, it still be more than economy.
It'll be more than coach, but it might only be $150 more. And for a lie flat seat and free food, free baggage, it turns out it's going to be maybe $20 more. And your experience, you won't need Headspace if you're on JetBlue Mint.
That Mint, I've flown Mint. It really is quite nice. Yeah. Yeah.
So There you go.
It's very nice. Johnny Jett, are you hitting the road soon?
I am hitting the road. My dad's big birthday is coming up.
Is he 100?
No, not that old, but 90. That's pretty big.
Well, 90 is a big birthday. Yeah.
But actually, did you see the guy in the Netherlands who's trying to legally change his age from 69 to 49 so he can get some better Tinder hookups?
Oh, dear.
Yeah. And so like, well, my dad hears about that. He's going to say he's going to try and go to 90.
Tell me your 90-year-old dad is not using Tinder.
Oh, I put him on Tinder a long time ago.
What?
He just I just wanted to see people's reaction when he's sitting there swiping and they see his picture.
has he met any, I don't want to say young women. Has he met any women?
No, he doesn't know how to use it. He just looks at it.
He just looks at it. He swipes. He's always swiping left. You got to swipe right sometimes. That's the trick.
Yeah.
Johnny Jett, swipe your way to johnnyjett.com. What's your Tinder handle? No. Just joking. I know you're not.
I'm not on Tinder.
No, of course not.
Although I've been to a Tinder party. They had a big travel party.
Really?
I'm not even quite sure what it was about, but I went with my wife just to see. It was at the Santa Monica Airport. It was amazing. They had In-N-Out.
They got money. They got Tinder money, my friend.
Yeah.
Johnny Jett on the Instagram and the Twitter as well. In fact, you should follow him on Twitter. He's got lots of good lists of airlines, all sorts of useful information. Johnny, always a pleasure. Safe travels. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. You too.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. I'm sorry. Sometimes I get in a mood. I apologize.
That's right, my dad.
I'm in a mood.
But, actually the Tinder, all seriousness, so their whole thing was, it wasn't just about hookups. It was trying to get people to connect while they were traveling.
Oh, that actually would be kind of cool. That'd be cool.
Yeah, it wasn't about like.
But I think Tinder's got a way to go to convince people that it's just about conversations.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
I've never used it, but I'm sure my kids have, and it's just weird. I don't get it. I don't get it, but it's probably better than going to a bar and just, you know, meeting somebody at a bar, I guess.
Yeah, I assume it's like Match.com.
No, it's not like Match.com. Tech Guy Podcast brought to you this week by the Carbonite folks. Yes, Carbonite, the data protection platform for business. This is if you're a business and you are not using Carbonite, I think about, boy, you read these stories about ransomware. Was it Merck, the big pharmaceutical company? I think it was. Last year, took a $300 million loss one quarter because of ransomware. I think it was Petya. $300 million loss. And always, when I see that, or hospitals are shut down, right, or pay the ransom, that's really dumb. And I read that and I think, didn't they have Carbonite? Why don't they have Carbonite? What? That IT department really ought to be fired. They need Carbonite. Carbonite provides the ultimate robust data protection platform for all businesses. You get backup, but it's more. I don't want to use the word backup because it's disaster recovery, high availability. That's critical in business because when a business goes down, every minute of downtime is lost money. Look at that, $300 million loss. That's because they were down. So if you can get back up and running fast, it's worth its weight in gold. It could be worth $300 million to you. High availability, workload migration technology means you're never stuck in any particular cloud or any particular spot. Their newest solution, Carbonite Endpoint Backup, is awesome. Everybody's got employees with laptops and phones. Businesses are now distributed, multiple offices. You need a solution, a hybrid backup and archiving solution that protects your data at user endpoints, but doesn't like cost you a mint overtaxing network resources. That's Carbonite Endpoint Backup. See, first of all, it's the only endpoint backup solution that has true global deduplication of encrypted data. Carbonite patented this. And the way they do it, it's actually clever. They use 256-bit encryption at rest, and each data set has its own encryption key. But each key is just for a little snippet of the file. This is really smart. So even if a key is, you know, breached, you only get this much. And that's the key to deduplication as well. I hope I'm not revealing the patent. Well, I guess you can read the patent. But you can do deduplication if you do it that way. So brilliant. So the upshot is, you know, if you've got, and this happens all the time in business, you've got, you know, a sales force, 800 people with laptops, and they all have the same files on there. Carbonite's algorithms say one copy, That's all you need. It's uploaded to the vault once. That saves you space. It saves you money. It saves you bandwidth. And on these endpoints, as they're going around, bandwidth's a big deal too, right? They're not in the corporate network. They're running on 3G or whatever. You can get 2 million endpoints in one vault. And you can have as many vaults as you need. So Carbonite's just going to scale to whatever size you need. Carbonite Endpoint Backup offers maximum flexibility because you don't have to deploy it on Carbonite's cloud. You could put it in the public cloud. You could put it in a private cloud. You could put it on-prem, or you can combine all of them. These guys are brilliant. They also have a proprietary tool called Quick Cache. This is for your on-premises backup. It'll back up small data sets locally over the LAN, which means, by the way, restore speeds are up to 10 times faster. Backup is faster. There's minimal bandwidth disruption because it's going over the LAN. And then at night, puts it in the cloud. But you can also do replication continuously so that if you have failover, you have cloud failover, it's instantaneous and you've got everything. So, you know, the place burns down nowadays. You have to be aware of that. Doesn't matter. Your data's safe. And you can just flip a switch and be operating in a satellite office instantly. Carbonite Endpoint Backup also has remote wipe for more security, peace of mind. Somebody leaves the company, you wipe their laptop, wipe their phone. It's not just for laptops. It also makes phone and tablet backup easy with centralized management. So you can set retention and access policies. You can delay backup if you want when using cellular data or if you're on battery or not. Depends on, you know, this is all up to you. And, of course, rapid access for end users to any file backed up across any of their endpoints. Learn more about Carbonite, the data protection platform for business, and the Carbonite Endpoint Backup Solution. That's just one of a whole bunch of them. One vendor does everything you need, Carbonite.com. Carbonite.com. We thank them so much for their support of the TWIT Podcast Network and the Tech Guy Show. That is some nice music. Thanks to Big Pee-wee. Our new musical director is taking over for Michael Cozio next week, right? Next week, you ready? You feel good, Big Pee-wee? All right. He's ready to go. 8888-ASK-LEO, the phone number. I think it's gonna get exciting. It's gonna get exciting in here. Line 4, Warren, Granada Hills, California. Granada Hills. Granada is a small country in the... What can I do for you, Mr. Warren?
Hey, Leo, how you doing today?
I am well. How are you?
Fantastic. Hey, so I got an iPhone 5, and I'm looking to upgrade. Probably yes. The A Plus, the XS Max,
okay.
Pixel 3, or even the what's other iPhone?
That's quite a wide range of phones here. What are your considerations? Because I think they're even selling the 7 still. So you got your 7, you got your 8, you got your 10. By the way, we just heard that Apple's admitting there's some problems with a touch sensor in the 10, but I don't, you know, they'll fix it. Then you got your newer stuff, which is of course your 10R, your 10R, your 10S, and your 10S Max.
Whew. Yeah, I'm looking for something with just mainly a bigger screen.
Yes,
read a lot of articles.
Yes,
something with a really good camera.
Yes,
and possibly something that's going to last me a long time because I've had this phone for probably 5-6 years.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the best way to future-proof, of course, is to get the fastest stuff you can get now, which means not the 7 or the 8 because those are 2 years ago and last year's iPhone, or the 10. The biggest screen Apple makes is the 10S Max. It's a 6.5-inch screen. It's pretty big, and it's nice. But I think the 10R, in my opinion, is the sweet spot right now in Apple's lineup. It's in between the 10S and the 10S Max size-wise. It's 6.1 inches, so it's still a big phone. But because they've shrunk the frame around the screen, they call them the bezels, they've shrunk those, it doesn't feel that big in the hand. It starts at $750, so it's about $200 less than a comparable iPhone XS or XS Max. And it has the same internals as the XS and the XS Max. It has that A12 Bionic processor, which is very fast, very nice. So in terms of future-proofing, you're getting all the benefit. Now, here's what you're giving up. You have an older iPhone, I presume. The 10R has an LCD screen like every iPhone until last year, right? So big deal. It's a very nice screen. You won't notice the difference. I put it side by side with my XS Max, and it's one's not better than the other. They're both very good. It's LCD, not OLED. That's the difference. Might improve battery life. In fact, the XR has the best battery life of all the iPhones. All the iPhones, because of that screen and because it has a bigger battery. The negative on the XR, and you said you want good pictures, is it doesn't have the dual lens system that the XS and XS Max have, and for that matter, the 10, where you have two lenses, and that does you can do a lot of things with the two lenses. It's not just like a zoom and a wide angle, although that's one of the benefits. Anytime you open up the camera app on the iPhone, there's a little button that says, you know, 2X or something like that, which means you can zoom in. And that's, you know, handy if you want to zoom in. if you can't get the picture, you can zoom in and you get a little bit better picture. It's not really a telephoto lens, but it's a little bit. But the other thing that can happen with these dual lenses is it can use the second lens as a backup to get extra information and make the pictures more accurate. And so that's something that doesn't happen with the XR. I found the XR excellent. It's as good as any iPhone before the dual lens 10. So you have to kind of decide, is battery life more important? If I want the biggest screen size and I want the best camera, then get the XS Max. If I don't mind a little bit smaller screen size, in fact, a lot of people prefer the smaller screen size of the XR and a little bit less good screen, a little bit less good camera, but I save some money, then the XR is a very good choice. So I think that's what, especially if you want to get 5 years out of it, you want to get the one with the fastest processor Apple makes, which is anything in the XS or R line. Those are the fastest. That's the A12 Bionic chip in there. I think actually, the other thing I like about the XR is it comes in colors. Black and white, yes, but banana phone yellow, coral, which is basically pink, and it has a product red, bright red. That's the one I got, and I like it. I like it. So I don't think you're giving up too much. And boy, the battery life is better. It's about an hour a day better in most uses, in most of my uses. So I think that's the one I would go with. Enjoy your new phone. I like habit spending people's money. That's much more fun than spending mine. I can tell you that. Jeff, Vancouver, Washington, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
Hey.
Say, do you remember when Windows 10 first launched and they were giving it away for free? How many years ago was that?
Oh, about 3 years ago. Yeah, if you had a Windows 7 machine, the upgrade was free. And they did that for a year. They did it for a long time. It was released July 2015, and they did that until July 2016.
So mine has been working fine up till this past Wednesday, and then all of a sudden it pops up, activate Windows now.
Oh, no, Microsoft had a problem. They know this. Their activation server was doing this to some people. You're the first one I've talked to that had actually happened, but I read the article that said Windows 10 activation, you may get a notice that your Windows needs to be activated. It's erroneous. Microsoft said it's going to fix this with an update. Microsoft, Jeff Jones, senior director at Microsoft, told ZDNet,
"We're working to restore product activations for the limited number of affected Windows 10 Pro customers."
So probably what will happen, you know, Patch Tuesday is coming up this Tuesday.
Yeah, I had one other question for you.
Sure.
If you got time.
So anyway, that'll go away. It's okay. It's okay. It should go away. They know about it. What's your other question?
So my folks are elderly now, and we're probably going to have some in-care folks show up, and I wanted to document what time they show up or leave, and I know we've got that $20 webcam or the Ring video doorbell, and wondered if there's something maybe in between that would be better for documenting when they come and leave.
Do you want video of inside the house, too, or you just want to know when they come and go?
I actually have a Echo Show for inside the house.
Okay. Yeah, but that won't... So you can drop in on the show and see what's going on. And yeah, right. I mean, I think a lot of times parents might not like the idea of their kid having a camera in the house. So maybe let's not let's not rattle any cages here. The Ring is nice. I use the Ring video doorbell, and there are a number of other companies that make this. Nest makes one, Skybell. I use the Ring. They're a sponsor. I like them. And what it does, it'll give you a notification on your phone when somebody rings the doorbell, but also when just somebody comes up the steps. And so I do use it exactly as you talked about. I know when people come to fix stuff or when our housekeepers come and when they leave and all that stuff. I mean, you could put a camera in the driveway. You could do the same thing with a camera that would notify you when there's motion in the driveway.
Does that WiseCam notify you too?
The WiseCam does notifications too, yeah. But it's not an outdoor cam, so you'd have to put that pointing at the door somewhere inside the house. You need Wi-Fi for all three of these. I don't know if your folks have Wi-Fi, but any of these choices are good, and the WiseCam's cheap. Yeah, though, I mean, you don't even need the, you can do the $20 WiseCam, WYZECAM.
I got it.
Oh, you already have it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it, you just point it at the door, and then you have to have the Wise software on your phone. And you turn on notifications on your phone.
It'll tell me when they walk by.
It'll tell you when there's motion, yeah.
Upgrade.
The only problem with that is if your parents would, it would also tell you when your parents walk by.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. The doorbell's nice because your parents probably aren't coming and going. Although, if they did, you would want to know that, right? Sometimes as people get older, they sometimes wander off.
Yeah, they can barely get out of bed, so that's why they're coming.
Oh, I'm sorry, but you're a good boy. That's a good thing to do. My son always said, be nice to me. I'm choosing your nursing home.
Yeah.
I said, okay, son. Hey, Jeff, it's nice to talk to you.
Okay.
Don't worry about your Windows 10. It's going to be all right. They're going to fix that. Yeah, I think I love the Ring doorbell. There's so many good reasons. It sounds like mom and dad aren't so alert that they would use it themselves. Although I was thinking of getting it for my mom so she doesn't have to get up. Like, if somebody rings a doorbell and they're just selling something, she can go away, because it has a speaker on it. So she, instead of having to get up, go to the door and see it's somebody selling something, and she could just open the app on her phone, see who's there. She could talk to them. And if it's, a package, she said, I'm not dressed. Could you just leave the package there and I'll be right there. Thank you. And she keep an eye on it and all that stuff. So that's a real convenience. The Wise is cheap. There's really no reason not to get it. It's good quality. The nice thing about the Wise, you don't have to pay a monthly fee to record. You should do with a lot of these others. If you put an micro SD card in, it'll store locally. Otherwise, it does store, and you can go to the, but it only stores for 24 hours. That's plenty. Yeah, and you'll get notifications and stuff. So, no, I think the Wise is kind of an amazing deal.
Is it more for inside or outside?
It's an inside camera. That's the, but you just point it at the door. I have a lighthouse pointed at it's in my office, but I can also see the front door, so I get notifications that people come and go. I get way too many notifications, actually. I have to turn them off. I know everything that's happening. Those are nice. Yeah, those are really good, the Arlos, yeah. Yeah. I never, it's so funny because I am not a camera guy. I'm not paranoid. I don't feel the need to monitor everything. But once we got them, it's kind of fun. I could see when the cats, it's kind of fun. Yeah, it's entertaining. When we're traveling, somebody drove over our mailbox. I could see that and stuff like that. So it was, but I don't, we live in a very, very safe cul-de-sac. There's never any problems. So I don't really need it. But it's, you kind of get used to it. My wife hates, everybody in my family hates it because I have these indoor cameras and they keep on, Michael kept unplugging them and burying them and hiding them and knocking them over. So I took out the indoor cameras, except for the one in my office. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography. We talk smartphones. We talk smartwatches. We talk iPads and MacBook Airs and Mac Minis and all that jazz. 8888 Ask Leo. That's my number, 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. You can just call. If you're outside that area, just call via Skype. It won't cost you anything. Tomorrow is 11-11. Which here in the West we think of as Veterans Day or Memorial Day, right? The 11/11/1918, 100 years ago tomorrow, World War One, the armistice for World War One ended at 11 a.m. And so as a result, we celebrate Veterans Day in the U.S., Memorial Day around the rest of the world. You see the red poppies in England and Canada. In Asia, 11/11 is Singles Day, 1111. See, they're all singles. 111, single digit, 1111. It is the biggest shopping day in the world. Bigger, easily bigger than Black Friday. I'll give you an idea. It's already begun because, of course, it's Sunday in Asia. In the first 85 seconds, Alibaba, which is the biggest, it's kind of the Amazon of China. It's not the only retailer by any means, but it's like the Amazon. In 85 seconds, they had over $1 billion in sales. In 85 seconds. I don't even know what it is now. It's well beyond that. It's not a legal holiday. It's just a kind of an informal day. Singles Day is the day that, you know, you give gifts to your single friends, I guess. Alibaba started this in 2009. They started giving Singles Day discounts. And it kind of made it the Black Friday of Asia. Of course, a lot of people, including Amazon even, will see a huge amount of traffic. But Alibaba is the big one. They do live telecasts. They're selling everything from liquor to sports cars. It's a big deal. 57% of consumers in China buy overseas goods during the event. Well, actually, I take that back because the top three Singles Day shoppers. The Singles Day shoppers in China bought products from not so much China, Japan, the United States, and Australia. They love the international shopping. The biggest shopping day on the planet is going on right now. Why aren't you buying something? 88. I guess, could you go? I mean, I don't know. Can you go to, I guess you can. You can buy stuff from Alibaba. You can go now and see if there's some good discounts. I don't know. 8888, Ask Leo. JT on the line from Irvine, California. Staying safe, JT.
Hey, Leo. How's it going, man?
It's going well. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thank you. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Very nice. Welcome.
Yeah, nice to talk to you. So, hey, with the Thanksgiving coming up, I was in the market for some smart home gadgets. I wanted to get your thoughts on it.
What do you want to do with your smart home?
Yeah, so I have a Nest thermostat already. I have a Ring doorbell. I have a Google Home Hub. What I was looking for is a smart lock.
Yes. So, August, there's quite a few. Schlage, August. I think I like the August the best. But I'm going to refer you to one of my colleagues, Stacey Higginbotham, who does a lot of IoT stuff. And she has a very nice website called Stacey on IoT. It's stacyonIoT.com, where she reviews a ton of stuff, including door locks. And I think Stacey has her finger on the pulse. She knows exactly what's good and what's bad about all these things. I'm a big fan. I think that she likes the August the best, but I would go look at her reviews and see. And then the other place, of course, that's, you know, owned by the New York Times, it's kind of the big review site these days. It's funny how times have changed. It used to be people would go to PC Magazine for these kinds of reviews, but those sites have dwindled away. The Wire Cutter is the king of the hill in this, and they also have a door lock recommendations. Let me just see what the best smart lock. Oh, this is one I had not heard of. They say the Kwikset Kevo, K-E-V-O. Now, here's a couple of things to think about is, first of all, how you want it to work. One of the reasons I like the August, I don't have one at home, by the way. But one of the reasons I think the August is a good choice is you can open it from your phone anywhere. So if somebody comes to the door. Now, the August is designed for an existing deadbolt. So it's actually good for apartment dwellers as well. And it works with everything that you just mentioned. So that's nice. It's very, very compatible. But
you can also have the one with the keypad.
Yes, the August has, they have some with keypad. Schlage also has a keypad. Quickset makes them with a keypad. So if that's what you want, yeah, I like the idea of a keypad. And most of these will also use a key if you get stuck, or at least some of them.
Yeah, I was hoping to travel without a key, right?
Right. But you don't need a key, of course. But, yeah, the idea is you can use the Kivo, for instance. You can use a standard key, a wireless fob, or a smartphone app. So I think that's one of the reasons that the Wirecutter likes it. It's the most flexible solution. I think the Augusts are pretty good if you want it to be able to do things like unlock the door when you're not home for a repairman, or lock the door if you think you forgot it. I think a lot of people like it for that reason. There is an August keypad, so if you want to have a keypad, you know who's this is great for is Airbnbs, for instance. You can give the renters access. Mm-hmm. They don't have to have the August app. You can say, hey, the number is 1234, and let them in.
Yeah, so I remember looking at the August lock on Amazon, and I think it had some mixed reviews. How much should I be reading into those reviews?
I trust Amazon reviews, and in fact, I don't buy anything without reading Amazon reviews. But I would go to the Wirecutter first, and then from what you've learned at the Wirecutter or Stacey on IoT.com, then go, and you'll be able to read those reviews, I think, a little bit more critically. Because remember that some of those reviews are from... I think, you know, it used to be we'd say, oh, competitors are putting negative reviews up, or the vendors putting unusually positive reviews up. I think that's less the problem nowadays. You can kind of tell when it's one of those. Then there is a certain category of person who's just extremely picky, more so than you and me. Now, those people are, it's good to read their reviews, but you have to kind of understand their mindset. Which is it? They right. want, you know, if it's not exactly perfect, exactly right. And I see this a lot with the smartphones, particularly. If you go on Reddit and you read reviews of smartphones, there is always that guy. Well, I don't know. The screen had, light bleed, and it was slightly pink, and then the speakers sounded funny, and your rice would dance on the back. And it's like, well, you got to really. Take those with a grain of rice or salt, as the case may be.
Okay, somebody's always complaining.
You'll know, you can tell there's finicky people where they're complaining about silly things. The Wirecutter is reliable. They did mention that the keypad sometimes forgets and has to be rebooted. That's not good. They also say battery life isn't great. So, you know, maybe August isn't quite the best one. Take a look at this. I have never heard of it. I haven't tried it. The Quickset Kivo, K-E-V-O, second generation. This is the one the Wirecutter picked. But sometimes the Wirecutter picks stuff because it's cheap. It's $160, which is the least of all of these. But, you know, that's not too bad. You also have to consider what you're replacing. You're going to take the whole lock out, or you're going to add it to an existing lock, that kind of thing.
No, I have that regular bolt.
The August will upgrade your existing deadbolt. But the Quickset, you know, it's kind of interesting. I read the reviews. My answer isn't going to be as valuable as those reviews, frankly. That's the key on that. Hey, nice to talk to you. It's a great question. And nowadays with this IoT, the Internet of Things, all of these Internet-connected devices, security is also a big issue. And I'm going to say this anytime anybody asks me about an Internet of Thing device, an Internet-connected thing in your house. Absolute minimum, you've got to get one that automatically updates, because there always are security flaws. And a door lock, you don't want a door lock that some guy can walk up and go bleep, 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 with his special magic twanger and it opens up. And so if that happens, and it does happen sometimes, you want one that automatically is updated by the manufacturer. You don't have to go around the house and find firmware upgrades and check and see if it is it up to date. Is there an update? You want the manufacturer to be able to, what we call it, push updates out to that lock. That's very important. So no matter what you buy, that's a requirement. 8888 Ask Leo. That's the phone number, and we will get back to the phones and answer your questions in just a bit. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888, Ask Leo. Mike in Culver City is next. Hey, Mike, Leo Laporte here. Welcome.
Neil, I have, well, thank you very much for your show, too. You have saved my bacon so many times.
Well, send some bacon my way. I love bacon.
Well, it's actually my family. So many family members. You just, you know, logarithmically explodes, so does your wisdom.
Thanks.
Anyway, I don't want to be fast here. I have a Moto G4 that has been recently, it's like 2 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a 20 to 80% charged life. I'm reading in articles. That's what I should be doing instead of, I thought for sure I heard you over the years say, always leave, you know, when you're not using them, leave them plugged in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What are these articles?
There's a lot. there's a lot of lore about lithium ion batteries. And okay. I'm not even convinced that we understand how they work.
Okay.
You can go to, there's a site, and this is where I get my information from, called Battery University. If you really care, you can read about the chemistry and get all sorts of information. But one thing that's missing from all of this lore is what the Motorola is doing to keep the battery conditioned. So there's some things that are bad for lithium-ion batteries. Heat and cold, right? Overcharging is really bad. In fact, if you overcharge too much, it'll blow up. But and also fully depleting it is not good for it. But almost all devices nowadays, anything decent, except for maybe those hoverboards that we were buying a couple of years ago, will have protection against overcharge. They will, you know, attempt to keep those battery temperatures. You know, Mike Tesla has all sorts of heating and cooling elements to keep the battery at a nominal temperature. The bottom line, first of all, is that phone's only 2 years old. You probably aren't going to have to worry about it for a few more years, period.
Well, it's the reason I got into this whole question was because I put an app. For the last couple of months, it's been dropping off real fast.
Oh.
And so I
so
got
your battery life has gone way down, huh?
Way down. In fact, it went from, while I've been on hold the last hour, it went from like 80% to 54%.
Oh, and that's not good.
I don't have it.
More likely, though, the first thing, the culprit is more likely software you're running.
Okay.
So what happens is lithium ion batteries age. It's not so much that they deplete faster. They just don't hold a charge. You can't charge them up as high. So if your phone is depleting fast, that's not the battery, probably. It could be. But it's most likely there's an app or two on there that are really eating the battery cycles. So the capacity going down is normal. If you want to read the Battery University article, I'll put a link in the show notes. How to prolong lithium-based batteries. I'll give you the thumbnail, though, because it's complicated.
Okay.
And it also doesn't really take into account what kind of circuitry you might have in your device. Leaving the device plugged in is fine, because what happens is you get micro charge and discharges. It will not. You get a certain number on a lithium-ion battery of charges and discharges, typically around 500. But that's a one all the way down and all the way up. So if you're doing, you know, 1/100th and charge down and 1/100th charged up, that's fine. If you're going to store it, they say store it at about half capacity, 50%. That's about it. That's about it.
Okay, great.
But if you read all of this, you know, the main thing is keep it from getting too hot or too cold. Don't let it drain all the way. That is probably the thing you really have to watch out for. You can't overcharge it on a modern device.
Okay, great.
All right.
Well, thank you. Can I ask you another quick question?
Yeah, of course.
This is more point me to a resource because I know this has got to be a god-awful complicated answer. Decided many years ago when Win 10 first came out, and I had Windows 7 Pro. I was real happy with it. And I said, well, I will give Win 10 a try, but I'm going to do dual boot. And I listened to one of your shows, which led to a link, which led to me like a monkey, not a wisdom entity, but I went through like a monkey and I split my computer. But I gave Windows 10. I said, you know what? I'm only going to give you 30 gigabytes because I don't trust you. And now I'm running up against
that. Now you regret it. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And it's constantly hollering for more memory.
Yeah.
And my, but I don't know. I've tried to get rid of the petition to start over again. And anyway.
So there are a couple things you could do. You could resize the Windows partition. If there's enough free space and it's contiguous enough, a good partitioner, including the one that comes with Windows, will let you resize it. The Windows one is a little more conservative. There are other partitioners out there that might do a better job. You want a non-destructive partitioning program, though, because you don't want one that's going to erase the drive. You'd ideally like to resize that 30-gig Windows partition without destroying anything else. Then you wouldn't have to eliminate that second partition. But a good partitioner will also let you, if you can't, if it says, you know what, it's because if it's all fragmented and stuff, it won't be able to resize it. Even if there's enough, like there's 30 gigs free, but you can't do it because there's too fragmented. It's not a contiguous 30 gigs. Then you can delete, again, a good partitioner will do this. You can delete the second partition and then expand the first partition to fill the full drive. So that's another thing you can do. Now, if the second partition does it have Linux on it, or is it just a data partition? It doesn't have another operating system on it, does it?
No, I've got Windows 7 and Windows 10. It's dual boot when it wakes up.
Okay. Do you want to stick with Windows 10, or do you care?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I know.
You're done
now.
With 7. You're done with 7. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can. It's a little trickier when you have operating systems on two partitions because you don't want to delete the second partition because then you're still going to have the dual boot and it could crash. Blah blah blah. So that's a little trickier. Yeah. But you can do it. The partitioners, EaseUS is probably the best one to get for free. Acronis makes one. There are a lot of partitioners. And even the one that's built into Windows might do everything you need it to do. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. EaseUS Partition Master is free with some limitations. EaseUS.com, Partition Manager. They have Partition Master, free trial. I don't know if the free trial will do everything you want it to do, but that's funny. Russell has blocked me from downloading it. He doesn't want me to repartition. Ooh, they now have a Mac backup. That's cool. But we'll put all that in the show notes, techguylabs.com. The chat room probably has some additional thoughts on that. Yes, do you, chat room? Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Big Pee-wee coming up with some good tunes. I think I can tell. I can tell the shift has begun. Michael Cozio has been our musical director. How long, Michael? A couple of years now? He's moving up to the big time, coast to coast.
2 years now. Yep.
And now Big Pee-wee's in charge. Is he going to start next week for real? You think he's got it? You think he's ready?
Yeah, I think he's ready.
They ready to put the kid in?
Yep.
All right. Thank you. Michael Cozio has been doing such a good job for the last couple of years. We'll miss you, Michael, but, you know, Coast to Coast is getting a heck of a musical director. And Big Pee-wee can't wait to hear what you bring to the table. Richard, West L.A., Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Leo. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
A little smoke down here. But
yeah, I bet. Are you okay? Everybody all right?
As far as I know, I hope so.
Yeah.
Leo, the other day I saw a tweet that seemed to be linked to a New York Times op-ed piece written by the San Jose mayor about students getting under city light poles to do their homework using Li-Fi. Have you heard of this?
Oh, yeah, I have heard of Li-Fi. I didn't know that San Jose had it.
Well, I tried to do some tracing. I went to the San Jose website and San Jose Mercury News. I couldn't get anything more on it, but I did see the editor, the op-ed. It was fairly lengthy. He was basically protesting because our government in Washington seems to discourage that sort of thing.
Yeah, it was a strange thing. And he's probably responding to one of the FCC commissioners who said that municipal Wi-Fi, the idea of a city offering Wi-Fi, is contrary to the First Amendment. His thesis was that cities might restrict speech on their proprietary networks, but of course, you know, anybody who's doing anything could restrict speech, and that's when you go after them, not until then. And really what this guy's doing is carrying water for the big telecoms. Comcast, Verizon, AT&T, and Sprint hate it when cities offer internet access because it's competition. And these guys have effective monopolies, and competition's bad for them, bad for business. You might choose another provider.
God forbid. Have you heard of any other cities doing anything
like that? Oh, yeah. The one that the commissioner name-checked is Chattanooga. Chattanooga has been doing broadband over power lines. The local power company has been offering really great gigabit broadband service in Chattanooga. What's happened, of course, is that these telecommunications companies have gone to state legislatures and in most states outlawed public Wi-Fi. They've actually outlawed.
No, I'm talking about Li-Fi.
Well, Li-Fi itself is just one kind of public Wi-Fi. It's not.
Have you heard of Li-Fi being used in any other cities? That was my question.
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. Probably. I mean, it's not a particularly unusual technology. But you've already. Here's the deal with Li-Fi. You've got wires already going to the lamps, right? And
right.
So you can use those wires to carry internet. So you've got a backhaul. And then Li-Fi uses the light instead of, you know, radio frequency, uses the light to transmit. So Wi-Fi uses RF. It's all RF in a way, and the light can do apparently higher bandwidth in areas where Wi-Fi wouldn't be a good thing. For instance, in a hospital, for instance, sometimes Wi-Fi is banned or doesn't work very well because of the electromagnetic interference from some of the high-tech medical machines. Campuses may have used Li-Fi because it works better if you're... But the problem is, of course, you have to be within the visible light, right?
So, but I understand that the download speed is 100 times faster than Wi-Fi.
Potentially, they say, yeah, because they're using LEDs. LEDs already are blinking. You can't see them. They blink at a very high rate. You can't see it. But Li-Fi, or visible light communications, uses that blinking to send ones and zeros, in effect. Now, they can't go through walls. Radio frequency can. So it's an additional technology that can be used in certain areas where electromagnetic radiation might cause a problem.
I understand.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's you can get theoretically.
Professor, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Theoretically, you can get as fast as, get ready for this, 224 gigabits.
Well, this professor Haas in the University of Edinburgh had a documentary about it 2 years ago, and I've been waiting to see when and if we would adopt it somewhere here. And apparently, kids are gathering under light stanchions in San Jose.
But that's the problem.
Doing their homework.
You have to gather under the light stanchion.
Yeah.
You can't go back to your dorm room and use it because it has to be within the, you know, in the pool of light cast by this. So it's cool. Yeah, you can watch Professor Haas's TED Talk. He gave a TED Talk on this about seven years ago.
Well,
and he's the one who's coined the term Li-Fi. And there's a company called Pure Li-Fi, but really it's visible light communications. If you think about it, you know, it's just flickering so fast you can't see it. But a computer with the proper receiver, that's the other problem, of course. You have to have a special Li-Fi receiver, and it has to be able to see the light.
Right.
So
that's what I heard, yeah.
Line of sight is not necessary. You can get fast Li-Fi by reflection, but it's not as fast as the direct.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Thing. So it's a specialty. It's not something that's going to sweep the world because you're in your house. Li-Fi is not going to probably work too well for you. But it's another way that municipalities can offer high speed internet, not Wi-Fi, Li-Fi, as long as you can see the light.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, good question. It's kind of a cool technology. You know, the world is about to change, in my opinion. When I got this iPad, I got a LTE chip in it because I love the idea, and you already experienced this with your phone, of being always online. And a computer should always be online, right? You shouldn't have to be on your Wi-Fi to be able to use it. You should, just like your phone, be able to walk out of the house and access it. But what's really going to change, and it's going to happen, I think, in the next 3 to 5 years, is something called 5G. Now, you'll be forgiven if you'll say, oh, here we go again, because the telecommunications companies did this with 3G and 4G and LTE. They have varying definitions of it, and, it, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it sounds like it really is a marketing term. It's what comes next after LTE, potentially very fast, using millimeter wave wireless, so up to 20 gigabits per second. Now you may say, well, you know, am I going to get all of that? No, that'll be shared probably. But still, even if you could get just a gigabit walking down the street, you'd be pretty darn happy. And that's what we're talking about. You're going to have very high speed cellular networks all over the country fairly soon. And that's going to make a big difference, I think, in terms of always connected. You know, we forget. I'm old enough to remember, you know, you'd be sitting in a movie theater. You'd say, what she looks familiar. Was she in another movie? And your wife would say, dummy, she was in The Birds. And you'd go, no, I don't think that's Tippi Hedren. Yes, it is, dummy. And you just have to argue the whole time and drive everybody in the movie theater crazy. Now you whip out your phone and drive everybody crazy because you can find out the answer to any fact, any question in seconds, wherever you are, right? That's a complete transformation. It changes things that we don't even understand or know about. It makes facts, which used to have a real value. If you had a fact at your fingertips, that had a real value. I know, because I used to have a very good memory, and that was a great. I had facts at my fingertips. Now you just Google it. Nobody needs to know a fact. What happened in 1066? I don't know. Google it. So that's really changed a lot of what we think of as intelligence, information. It turns out understanding a fact is more important than knowing the fact. Being able to contextualize it and synthesize new ideas from existing ideas, that's more valuable. And I think 5G is going to do the same thing in the next couple of years. It's going to just transform the way we think of information. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. That's going to be awesome for Pokemon Go. Now, we'll still have networks that don't work very well. Right. Tech Guy Podcast brought to you today by Capterra. Don't call the Tech Guy Podcast. Don't call me and say, Leo, I have a dentist's office, and my boss says I need to come up with 5 different dentist office management platforms by Monday. Don't call me. Don't Google it. Go to Capterra, Capterra, CAPTERRA.com. It's a free website, free, that has every kind of business software, over 600 categories, and you can easily find not only one program, but a dozen programs that meet your needs. They've got checkboxes for all the different criteria. You can narrow it down to just the stuff you need by price, by you know, whether it's a web service or on the hard drive, by features, have a comparison chart with all the candidates, read real reviews, verified reviews from actual users. They've got hundreds of thousands of them. It is a great site, much better than Google, much better than calling Leo, Capterra.com. And right now, when you go to Capterra, you can get their new free, it should be free, ebook, because it's called The Big Book of Free Software. This is a free resource to help you find free software for your business, over 300 tools, and it's really great. You don't have to ask a boss for anything. You just go to Capterra.com/tech guy, download the Big Book of Free Software, absolutely free ebook. Capterra, CAPTERRA.com/tech guy. Check out all the great software out there and get that Big Book of Free Software, absolutely free. Everything's free. At Capterra, Capterra.com/tech guy. Join the millions of people, literally millions of people every month who use Capterra. Capterra.com/tech guy. We thank them for their support of the Tech Guy Podcast. Yeah, baby. And ladies and gentlemen. I just can't get enough. Of Dick DiBartolo, Mad's maddest writer. He is the Giz Whiz. Woo! Can't get enough.
Nice.
Of your gizmos, nice. Baby. Hello, Dick DiBartolo.
You know, I heard you talking about Li-Fi. I am still looking for an investor for my Disco-Fi.
Disco-Fi.
Where you,
Yeah, you bounce the Wi-Fi signal off a mirrored ball.
You know, that would work.
I think it would.
Think that's it a would, good yeah. idea. You'd only get a little internet every once in a while, but it'd be fair. It'd be fair.
Yes. That way. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So Dick joins us every week to show us some gizmo or gadget he has found in his travels. He is always looking for something new. What do you have this week for us?
Boy, you know what? Thursday was CES Unveiled 2019.
Is it already CES time?
Oh, my. It is. And when I first went to CES, the very first time, I would walk around and I would say, why does that guy have a crystal award there that says best of the year 2019 when the show's only been open an hour? So now that
2019 is still months away.
Yes, exactly. So now I realize CES Unveiled is where they announce the winners.
Oh.
And that gives them about 6 weeks to, you know, print up whatever they want. But one of the most unique things I saw there is called WaterGen, that makes drinking water out of air. Okay?
No, come on.
Yes, yes, yes. So you walk up to this device and you put your cup there and it makes the water and...
Wait a minute. How fast? How much water?
Okay, well, all right. So, I knew that you would. It makes 5 gallons in 24 hours.
Well, that's a lot of water.
Now, okay? So
is it
this
like
was,
from the humidity, the water that's in, you know, dissolved?
You know,
let me,
you know, I wrote it down because I said, I'm going to talk about a guy on radio who's going to say, going to ask me a lot of things I don't know. Okay, it takes the ambient, it takes... Hang on. It's from WaterGen, an Israeli-based company.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The atmospheric water takes in ambient air through a filter, yeah. cools it at its dew point.
Yeah, condenses it. Yeah.
Extracting the water.
It uses a huge amount of energy to do this.
It does?
Sure.
Oh, okay. Well, are you doing it?
No, but I could. It's called a refrigerator, Dick.
No, I asked him, okay, but it doesn't make a refrigerator. I said, can't I drink my air conditioner water?
No. Well, it's the same principle.
All right, but it has to be filtered, and then they add mineralized. Okay. So you think this is not a good idea?
No, I'm sure it's a fine idea in certain circumstances. First of all, it has to be pretty humid. Fortunately, in New York it is.
No, I know. I said, is this a dead thing in Las Vegas? And she said, well, it's not the best atmosphere.
Not the best. They're showing it off in Hanoi. I think it's a little muggy in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so if it's humid, if it's 90% humidity, I'm sure it works better. But it also must take a significant amount of energy.
You know, it's interesting. I did not ask about that.
It's basically a dehumidifier, right? That's what it is.
I guess you're right. The thing about it was they showed one of the versions was a unit big enough on a truck that could drive into an emergency area to make water where the pipes had been broken or anyway.
How did that water taste?
Oh, it tasted fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, basically, it's distilled water. That's why they have to remineralize it. It doesn't have any flavor because it's pure water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not coming out till 2019, and the price might stop you too. Under $1,500, but they don't know how far under $1,500. Yeah.
You know, it's a specialized. It sounds like, I mean, it's you know, yeah, your air conditioner is doing the same thing when it's dehumidifying. It's taking water out of the air. It's just they're not paying any attention to making it drinkable.
No. Well, I'm going to put a blue light on my air conditioner so it looks more like that thing.
Yeah. That could be more than just a blue light. It could be actually pure UV light. It could be purifying.
I bet it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I bet it is.
Well, that's it. You know, I've heard about this for a while. I'm glad to see they're making it. And certainly there are areas where, you know, this would be great, but it has to be humid. And unfortunately, a lot of the places where water is scarce.
Most needed. Yes,
it's exactly. Pretty dry. That's kind of the deal. So, because where it's humid, I mean, it's going to rain and stuff, right? I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. I didn't put your name on the list to get one.
Thank
so
you.
It's okay.
Thank you.
I suspected I was missing something.
It takes a lot of energy to do
this. That was interesting. When she said you just plug it in, I didn't ask.
You just plug it in. how much is that water going to cost you? You'd be better off going down to Walmart and putting your jug under one of those things they have there, those jug filler things. Gizwiz.biz. You can read all about it. The Water Gen. It's right there if you click the button that says the Gizwiz visits the tech guy. But don't make that the end of your visit. No, by no means. Browse around. There's lots of good stuff, including the What the Heck Is It contest. What is that? I don't know. It's a brand new contest started November 1st. You have a couple of months to figure out what that close-up picture of a gizmo or gadget is if you can. Send Dick the entry. Yeah, all the details are on the website. You can win an autographed copy of Mad Magazine. Who autographs those, Dick?
My dog, Charlie.
Okay. That's good. Make
he's
more
he's
right.
got my handwriting down
perfectly. You need an auto pen.
I do. Oh, is there such a thing?
Oh, yeah.
I'm missing it then.
Oh, yeah. The president uses it to sign things.
Oh, then I don't want his.
Well, I didn't. Every president uses an auto
pen. Oh, okay.
Not just this president. Okay. All presidents. Oh, okay. Actually, I think Mr. Trump loves signing his name. He uses those big Sharpies.
Oh, I think so, too. He doesn't sign it unless there's a camera running.
He loves that. So I bet he doesn't use an auto pen. Yeah. Dick DiBartolo, Mad's Maddest Writer. You can also see his podcast at gizwiz.tv. It's good stuff.
Yes, sir.
I thank you, my friend.
Oh, thank you, buddy. I'll see you next week.
See you next week. Okay. Always got the good stuff, and, you know, we always play the disco. Big P, we got that message right away. Got to play the disco going into Dick DiBartolo. We don't know why. It's just for historical reasons. That's what we do. See if I can get one more quick call in here. Ron in Southfield, Michigan. Hello, Ron.
Hey, Leo.
I got about a minute. What can I do for you today?
Oh, I need you to help me decide whether I'm going to buy a MacBook Air or a MacBook Pro.
Oh, boy. That'll take more than a minute. If you have a need for speed, you really want the MacBook Pro. But if you don't mind a little bit slower with better battery life, this is really an all-day battery life, this MacBook Air, and a lot lighter and easier to carry around, I actually love the MacBook Air. The MacBook Pro is for people who need a lot of performance.
Let me tell you about what I've boiled it down to.
Well, hold on a second. You're going to have to do that off the air because the magic sound tells me it's time to say goodbye for the day. I hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you for being here. We'll see you next time. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, Security on Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. And, of course, the big show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guy show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time. All right. So we still have time, Ron. What can I do? So you've boiled it down to what?
Okay. So, first of all, I can get a MacBook Pro for $200 off at Best Buy.
Okay. Is it the 2018 MacBook Pros or is it?
It's the lesser. It's the one that doesn't have the touchpad on it.
Ah, they call that the MacBook Escape. Because it has an actual escape key. Yeah.
Right. Now, what it's boiled down to me is this T2 chip.
Yes, that's right. The Escape doesn't have one.
Yes, it doesn't have that. And the Air does. And so I'm reading articles about this, and it's talking about this is the jackknife of chips, some kind of DSP chip. And it does encryption, and it does security, and it's doing audio filtering, and it's like, it's like cooking breakfast for you in the morning.
It does everything. So
does everything.
All the new Macs except for that MacBook Escape have a T2 in it. And all Macs going forward, including iOS devices, will have a T2. It's an ARM chip. It's an Apple-designed chip. And it's primarily used as a secure enclave. So your fingerprint's stored there, you know, anything like your disk encryption stored there. But as you said, it also, because they've got extra horsepower, it can do things like on the Touch Bar Mac, it runs that whole second screen Mac. It does sound, you're right. It also does something that makes it a very Apple's hard drives very fast and cheap for Apple, not for you. They don't need a disk controller on their hard drives. They could put bare NAND flash in there, and the T2 is the disk controller. So it does a ton of stuff on the Macintosh. Yeah. But here's the thing that I would consider. You don't need a T2 unless you want fingerprint.
Well, I'm afraid what's going to come maybe in the
Bingo.
Next Mac OS.
Bingo. That's what I think, too. So even though it's not a huge cost to them, they don't like it that people put Mac OS on non-Apple hardware. They're a hardware company. So I wouldn't be surprised if at some point, it won't happen right away because there's a lot of old Macs, but at some point, maybe not the next version of OS X, maybe the next version after that, it's going to check to see if you have a T2 chip. That'll keep the Hackintoshes, that'll put them out of business.
Yeah. Because now, the hard drive on the Pro, on the lesser Pro, the Escape, is like 20% faster. Not the hard drive, the processor chip is about 20% faster.
This is actually, a lot of people pointed out that even without the $200 discount, you can get the MacBook Escape for only about $100 more than a comparably equipped MacBook Air. So what you're buying the Air for is a couple of things. That T2 chip for sure. Fingerprint, you know, I love being able to unlock with fingerprint. That's great. Yeah. You're also getting a much lighter, thinner package. Apple used to be very easy to choose a Mac. Apple's really muddied the waters now. They have too many different SKUs. But
they put some kind of membrane under the keyboard for this too, didn't they?
Yeah, the MacBook Escapes, if they're 2018, will have those. That's the newer butterfly. All the new MacBook Pros have this little membrane. That's because people were eating food and getting crumbs underneath, and it was a very expensive repair. Mm-hmm. It also happens to make that a little bit. I do not like these keyboards, but it's a little bit better than the ones without the membrane. It's a in my opinion. You should absolutely try both keyboards if you can. Go to an Apple store or somewhere. Try both keyboards. Make sure you can live with it. Most people think it's fine, but I like a little more travel. Say again? Yeah.
I was just going to say the travel is like half a millimeter.
There's very little travel.
Right.
It's hard for me to be accurate. But
I want to buy some MacBook something or other.
I think you'd like the Air, to be honest. The biggest difference is you are getting a faster processor. You're getting a better processor in the MacBook Escape than you are in the Air. But I think the MacBook Air is super elegant, super light. I like having physical function keys. Oh, actually, you still get them, don't you, on the Escape? So, yeah. But you don't get the fingerprint.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm retired, so what I mostly do now is, like, rip CDs. That's about the most strenuous thing I do on my computer.
Well, in both cases, you're going to have to buy an external super drive.
Right.
I just ripped some – I haven't ripped CDs in years, but I just got the new Beatles White Album 50th anniversary or 60th anniversary, and I ripped those because it came on CDs. So I had to find my super drive in the closet, pull it out, and plug it in. But it works. You can buy a USB CD or DVD burner.
So I have to rip everything to FLAC, and then
that's exactly what I did. Exactly what I did, and I say, and then I put the CD away.
You just don't trust streaming services.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I do it myself. I do the same thing. The keyboards are the same. You do get a fingerprint on the MacBook Air. It's thinner and lighter. It's slower, but it's not so slow given what you do that you're going to notice it. It's fast enough.
Yeah, it's going to be faster than my Chromebook.
But I had the MacBook Escape, and I found it a little bit clunky. I actually do have a MacBook Pro. I have the 2018 MacBook Pro with the i9 in it. And for raw speed, there's nothing like it. But I don't really, the truth is, I'll probably end up carrying the MacBook Air everywhere because it's so much lighter and thinner. It's just very compact. It's kind of pretty.
Right.
It's a pretty notebook.
Right.
So.
Right. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I think your instinct that T2 may end up being more important than Apple's saying. Now, I floated that for my colleagues at MacBreak Weekly, and they say, oh, no, Apple would never do that. Too many people have non-T2 Macs, and Hackintoshes don't really represent a threat to Apple's business. And that may be true.
Well, What about in the future if they offer better audio because they're using the chip?
No, that won't. I don't think that'll happen. No.
I'm just worried that the upgrade cycle will be dependent upon that chip, and that's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, it might be. At some point, they may say, the next Mac OS requires a T2. By then, they'll be on the T3 or T4, of course.
Yeah.
So, this is really the beginning of ARM on Macs. I think the biggest change, frankly, is going to happen in a couple of years when they stop using Intel chips. That's the cliff that everybody's going to go off. And that's going to happen in I predict by 2020.
I couldn't afford the iPad that you got. I
bought
the one that's $350.
And it's fine.
It replaces my Air, one.
Yeah,
and it's like at least twice as fast. It looks exactly the same, but it's much smoother. You know, when you're surfing the internet or anything like that. So.
Yeah. No,
it's
I think it's fine. I have to buy all this stuff to review it. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
And I have a Surface, but I frankly don't use the touch screen that much, except maybe to pinch to zoom or something.
Yeah,
but I guess you can do that now on a trackpad.
Yeah, you know, the only time I ever really use a touch on a Mac, or wish I had a touch, is like hitting a OK button. For some reason, I'll do that on a Windows machine. I'll hit the OK button.
Right,
But you're right. It takes your hands off the keyboard, off the trackpad, off the mouse. Your hands are in position and can do everything you really want to do. So, I wish Apple put touch on Mac OS, but I can, it's not the end of the world. And I have to say, my iPad's all greasy and icky because I keep touching it. It's icky looking. So that's
the nice thing about this new iPad was that all my old cases fit it.
So that's right. This one, no. Yeah. These. I don't think anything would fit it. You'd have to get everything new.
Yeah, except it's Bluetooth, the connection to the keyboard. So
you were smart. You saved a lot of money and didn't give up really, frankly, much at all.
Well, I could buy the expensive stuff, but I feel like I have to go back and work if I do that.
You're like my mom. She has all this money in the bank, but she's a Scot, and she just won't spend a penny. Not a penny. So I have to give her all the new stuff.
Yeah, and I'm a tech geek from way back,
nice.
So I buy this stuff even if I don't need it. So.
Well, that's right. It's kind of fun. I mean, anybody like you and me who's been doing this for a while, it's a mind-boggling, really. It's hard to kind of remember how much has changed. But you look at these iPads, Wow.
I don't need this stuff. I mean, I've got Windows machines.
Of course you don't need it. No one needs it. Your phone is probably, the phone is a perfectly good computer. That's all anybody needs.
Yeah.
You can surf the web.
I want to use Mac OS again.
Love Mac. You know what? You're going to love it. If you're a geek, the fact that I can drop out to the command line and, that's huge.
Right. So I'm looking forward to
that's the one thing that's missing from me for Windows is a good Unix style command line. I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
I need it.
Well, I'm annoyed because they tried to blend a desktop
with
a tablet together, and you got these tiles that show up, but you don't want them. You just want the desktop, and then you got this floppy cover that's flopping around when it's on your lap.
I know what you mean. You're gonna. You should go to the store and play with. If you play with the MacBook Escape, it's utilitarian, it's industrial, and then you play with the MacBook Air, and it's a thing of beauty. And the truth is, it's going to do the same exact job for you. You're not going to see the speed difference.
Watching you today go through and use it, I think I've already decided on the MacBook Air because I was concerned it might not be smooth enough and fast enough.
It's my precious. It's mom's home cooking.
And you have the ring to go with it.
Yeah. It's great to talk to you, Ron.
Thank you very much.
All right. You have a great day. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.